Okay, hello.
I know
Welcome
that
to
song.
Millennial 20. Oh, okay, you can sort that out. Welcome to Millennial 2017 number, and this is completely improvised. I think it's number 61. And this is with V. This is, as I say, this is just arranged a couple of hours ago. And
Yeah.
V is a, I think you would call him a centrist skeptic YouTuber. And hello, V. Welcome to the channel.
Thank you. I would call myself a classical liberal. I keep hearing the word skeptic thrown around, and if you'd ask someone to define it, because I want to make a video about it, I asked like six people, define what is a skeptic YouTuber. And no one has managed. And the reason no one has managed is because the label was actually turned by the social justice warriors when it was the idea that you don't want to listen and believe. So, okay, I'm a skeptic. I like convince me of the truth. At least that's
Right.
my interpretation of it, right? And pretty much like everyone who disagreed with the far left was labeled a skeptic. So by this definition, for instance, you would also be a skeptic YouTuber. But usually when people say, when people say skeptic YouTubers, they actually mean, from my understanding, it's like Sargon and friends, And if that's the case, just say it, Sargon and friends. Personally, I don't mind the label, but I wouldn't identify myself with it. I would call myself a classical liberal.
Right. Okay. Well, the thing that, I mean, obviously there is a lot that you and I could discuss and debate, but the thing that sort of prompted us to arrange this was the Mike Isaacson debate that I had a few nights ago, and then Sargon and you did a video in which you sort of, it's weird because for the first 15 minutes of that video, you went over all these things that Isaacson and I disagreed on, but Sargon kept saying that we agreed on loads of things, and I just think that's rubbish,
You
as far
made
as I
it. You
can
made him pretty
remember.
woke. You made him pretty woke on the Jewish question, mate.
I think he's he already knew about the Jewish question. He is a diaspora Jew and an anarcho-communist as well.
I mean, here's the thing, right? If I would get both of you in a room, I'm pretty sure I could get you to agree on a lot of things.
Well, hold on a second. The fact that he and I agreed on that's like saying, well, if you get an Islamic jihadist and you get a conservative to say, oh, that Islamic jihadist is doing such and such, he's planting bombs, and the Islamic jihadist is planting bombs, then the conservative and the Islamic jihadist would have to agree on that, wouldn't they? They'd have to agree, yes, I am planting bombs.
Okay.
So, but that doesn't mean that they agree on things, it doesn't mean that they're the same. I mean,
No,
I agreed
okay.
with Mike Isaacson that diaspora Jews have a stereotypical tendency to deconstruct the societies that they live in. And he
He
agreed with
also
that
agreed,
because that's what he's doing.
he agreed with the fact that being a Jew has certain privilege in certain parts of society. He also agreed with
Well,
the
yes, it
fact
does.
He also agreed on the external politics regarding Israel and Palestine, that Israel should
Now,
stop getting money from countries like
well,
Britain
first of
and the
all,
United
right,
States.
okay, yeah, hold on. First of all, we agreed, I think we agreed that yes, being a Jew has some advantages in society, but that's not a political belief. That's just an observation that, that we
Yeah,
share.
but I disagree with that, for instance, right? Because as a classical liberal, I believe in a meritocracy, and I don't
Oh
think
my
that if
God.
you're
So, but
if you're Yeah, I know,
hold on a
but
minute. No, hold on, hold on. You do you and I don't like to go into the JQ on my channel, but do you think that all of these Jews in high positions in American media, for example, are there on merit?
No, I also think it's because of their collectivist ideology, but since there's
Okay,
no
so you agree
But
with
it's
me
also
then?
okay. No, it's a balance because it also needs to be a merit. Because if you look at the Jew that, for instance, can't act, he will never become an actor, regardless of the fact that he's Jewish.
Yes, but but this is the thing about favoritism. Yes, you might have a Gentile who can act very well, and then you have a Jew who can act pretty well, but they choose the
Right.
Jew because they're a
Yeah,
Jew.
but
So,
this is
it's
a. I
nepotism.
mean, I'm against with this principle, right? It is nepotism, but it is also a
It
private
doesn't, yeah.
company. No, but
But it
listen,
doesn't
right?
matter whether you're against it, right? It doesn't matter whether you're against it. The point is that it happens, and he
Right.
observed that it. Well, I can't remember what Isaacson said about it, but I was just pointing out that it happens.
Yeah, and as a black man, you probably get advantage if you want to go into the NFL, or if you want to go into rap music, or if you want to go into jazz.
Well, in the NFL, that would be merit, I would guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. But like, for instance, jazz or rap music.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But that's just group. That's just people doing what they do.
Let me give you another example, right? Let's say you're a Christian and you want to get into a Christian organization or an organization that was led by Christians. You'd also get the same advantage.
Yes, I'm not moaning about this.
Yeah, or if you're an atheist and you want to get into an atheist organization. You know, it's the idea of nepotism. And the question is, if it's private companies that are doing it, like, what can you do about it? Like, if you start your business and you want to get only white people in it, with what right would other people say, no, you're not allowed to get whites?
But this is exactly, but they will, though. That's the thing. I mean, clearly, if I start a business and said, right, yeah, but this is the thing. That sets up a situation where you're going to have lots of ethnic groups disagreeing and compete and arguing with each other and resenting each other, when instead it would be much simpler if they just lived separately.
Exactly.
You can't just tell everyone to fuck off all the time. I mean, but that's not a stable social situation.
If I start my business, right, to make comic books, and I only hire white people, and someone starts complaining, I told them to fuck off. I only hired the best. This is what I got.
And then the government sues you or imprisons you for being racist.
How is the government going to imprison me for being racist if I'm not racist? Like, I didn't say anything negatively about blacks or any other race. I just
said... being racist by having a policy that you're only going to employ whites.
But I don't have that policy. I mean,
so it just happens. It's like an accident.
For instance, Hollywood, does it have a policy of hiring only Jewish people?
I don't think it's a formal policy. I would very much doubt that.
There you go. Yeah, well, there you go. You know,
so there's no problem because they just do it informally.
Okay. If you, how exactly could you enforce this, right? How could you look at Hollywood and prove that they're only hiring Jewish people? I mean, isn't this, because this is the horseshoe theory that I'm saying, right? Like, a far leftist would look at a comic book and say, well, only white people are hired, so clearly it's racist. While someone from the opposite spectrum would look at Hollywood and say, well, this is filled with Jews, so it's clearly ethnic. Do you see what I mean?
To prove. Yes, I do understand what you're saying.
No, no, no. My point is that hiring a specific demographic doesn't say anything that the owner is racist or not. You need additional proof, right? Because at the end of the day...
But it still disadvantages everyone else in that society because you can tell that, okay, that guy, there's no point in me applying for that job because I'm not the right color, I'm not the right race, I'm not the right religion or whatever it is.
In a capitalist society, you can't afford not to hire people that are based on merit. If you're just going to hire people based on race or ethnicity, you're going to pass over really skilled talent who's just going to work for the competition. So the invisible hand of the market is going to fix that shit.
First of all, I don't think so, because you can get people of equal merit or just a little less. It doesn't matter. Hold on a minute. Right. What about at the university level? Let's say, as we know what happens here, whites are disadvantaged because they have white privilege, supposedly. And so, and also, let's say that they're not. Let's say that Asians get in and whoever else, and they get the degrees, and the white people don't get those degrees because there are too many white people on that degree. So then lots of white people should have that degree. Sorry?
With an H.
That's possibly a Scottish thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're talking about affirmative action, yeah?
I'm talking, yes, but just generally, I think that why would you set up a situation where different ethnic groups are going to compete with each other in the same space, which will lead to resentment and mistrust and suspicion and all the rest? Why would you create that situation?
Well, okay, first of all, fuck affirmative action. I think everyone can agree. And second of all, is the best way you can get meritocracy. I mean, if the Asian guy legitimately gets better grades because he studies better, then that's the man that needs to graduate. I'm sorry, but it's the truth, you know?
That's you selling... Hold on a minute. That's you selling out your own people, your own countrymen.
Yeah, but I don't identify with ethnic groups in my own country. I identify with humans, you know? And if another human is better than me, then by all means, so far, I haven't...
That's our fundamental... That's our fundamental disagreement, right? And it's going to keep coming back. I do care about my group, and I want them to, in our country, do as well as possible. And I don't want other people in our country who are going to prevent them.
Yeah, but then you need to encourage your group to study harder and work harder.
Right.
You know, I don't see the issue. If your group literally can't get better grades than the Asians, and this is on merit, right? Because if the professor is racist, for instance, and legitimately doesn't want to give white people good grades, then you can just have a commission. You can just contest your grade. I mean, in the University of Medicine where I studied, this is a possibility.
What you're about to say there is, if your own people aren't as good as the Asians, then fuck your people.
No, it means that my people need to work harder. That's what it means. Right. And by the way, about immigration, right? Because this is the idea. I don't feel comfortable with mass immigration or immigration for the sake of diversity or whatnot. No, your country, you know, your government should decide if there are certain positions in societies that aren't filled. And then they should decide if they want to fill that with people that are coming from outside. And the people that are coming from outside should prove that they understand the culture of the country, that they want to integrate, that they know the national anthem and they know, you know, the history of the nation and so on and so forth. Then they pass
it back. How are they ever going to get be as British as somebody who was born there, grew up there, and has ancestry there going back centuries? It doesn't matter if some Chinese guy can sing the British national anthem. He's still not British. He's still not one of my people.
But he doesn't have to be British. It doesn't have to be one of your people. The problem is that if a country like mine,
it does.
Okay, look, my country, for instance, needs doctors, right? Because all of the doctors in my white nation want to go to the multicultural Germany and multicultural France for some reason.
And so maybe if Germany and France stopped taking them, then your country wouldn't have this deficit of doctors.
Yeah, pretty much. However, I can't control the government in Britain and the government in France. So the point is that if these people are living, it causes a huge brain drain on my nation. So let's say the Romanian government would go like, okay, we want to take more doctors in because there's not enough Romanian doctors. So
this is just insane.
Right.
But this is crazy, V. Can't you see that all the doctors, like the Romanian doctors go to Germany and France and then, oh, fuck, we need to get more doctors in Romania, so we'll get them from India or whatever.
Why don't you
just keep your own doctors? Just keep your own doctors.
How would you keep our own doctors? By closing the borders?
Yes.
Okay, that's what the communists did in Romania, which is why I'm talking about horseshoe theory. No, listen, right, because this is the interesting thing about horseshoe theory, right? The moral fagging is different on why you need to close the borders, right? The communists had like a different morality on why this should be done, and I'm pretty sure you have a different morality on why it should be done.
Yes, but it's going to destroy your country. Right, it's going to destroy your people. Your people aren't going to exist anymore. I mean, surely
is exactly what the communists are saying, mate, word for word.
Hold on a minute. No, but, well, I don't believe that because communism was extremely damaging to people,
issue of borders, you're agreeing with them.
So they wanted to.
Well, this is tyranny, mate. Okay, like I don't.
No, it's not tyranny. Any society has to have laws, right? And you can't just say, "Oh, well, therefore that's authoritarian. That's just a dictatorship. It's totalitarian." Any country, any society has laws. I don't see the problem with saying we're going to train you, we're going to pay for your degree, your medical training, whatever. Like, what is it? Like 8 years, 10 years, and then you can fuck off to another country.
But what That's if just I pay ridiculous. For my own medical training? Like, for instance, if I pay for my own medical? And not to mention, they don't pay for my medical training. My parents pay taxes for my medical training. It's not from the kindness of the government. And not only that, once the taxes were paid...
No, the government is irrelevant. The government is not the issue here. The issue is that your people are paying for that.
Yeah, let me finish this thought, right? Once I actually went to the university, I had to get good grades in order to keep getting the scholarship. Well, not me particularly, because I paid for mine, but other people had. So if my parents, for instance... Their entire life, they had to pay taxes so that their kid can go to the university. And my parents are fine with me leaving the country. With what right would the government say that, no, the borders are locked, you can't leave?
Well, that's a different matter, slightly different matter, where you paid for your own education. But even then, somebody else could have had your place who would have stayed in Romania and practiced medicine there. So again, you're still disadvantaging everyone else.
Yeah, but if his parents allow him to leave and his parents paid taxes their entire life so that their kid can get a free education, with what right would the government say, no, you're not allowed to leave, you have to stay here?
Because everyone else's taxes were also going towards paying for his education.
Okay, and what if the majority of people in the nation don't want the borders to be closed?
I think, well, that's another matter, because I think that that would be naive of them, because basically they would be paying for someone to get educated and then leave them. I mean, that's just self-defeating.
Well, you know, when you have freedom, you're also going to have certain downsides. I mean, when you allow people to choose, some people are going to make the wrong choice. But at the end of the day, so the importance
is that
of
their own choice.
Yeah, it is their own choice. Like, for instance, they could choose.
No, is that the wrong choice? Is it the wrong choice to allow a people to pay for your education via their tax money, and then you leave, and they don't have a doctor? Is that a good thing to do?
Well, it's not just that you're training people. I mean, there's going to be people who remain, and yeah, there's going to be people who leave. I'm pretty sure in the UK, there's a lot of doctors who leave.
Yeah, they go to Australia.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, freedom of movement is one of the most important freedoms that I would say. You know, when I was in communism, a lot of people despised the fact that they couldn't leave the country.
I'm not surprised. They were living under a communist dictatorship.
Right.
I mean, it's not the same. It's just not the same thing. Of course, everyone hated living under communism, and that's why they needed a wall to keep everyone in. I understand that.
During fascism, Romania went through Islamism, right? When we were conquered, well, it wasn't really Islamism, but we were conquered by the Ottomans, and then we went through, a far right dictatorship. We were allied with Hitler. We went into the USSR, and then we had the Red Army come here. Forced us to live through communism. So we had like all of the, you know, pivotal, I guess, different forms of government. And honestly, if you read books from people who survived through the fascist regime and then they went through the communists, they say that at the end of the day, there wasn't that much difference for the individual. The rules were the exact same. It's just that the moral fagging that was different. Life was still shit. And you can do the same in Poland. You can look at people who lived close to the border between the Nazis and the communists, and you can see that they also say that wasn't that much of a difference.
Mm. And I think people in Germany would, certainly East Germany, would say that life was better under the Third Reich than it was under the GDR.
Yeah, and I'm sure the people in West Germany would say that life was far better under capitalism than both the GDR and the Nazis.
Oh, I don't know about that. Education was apparently better in Germany then than it is now.
It's not all about education, you know, it's living conditions.
Well, there's the economy as well. I mean, the economy as well, apparently, was, I mean, I don't know the details, but I believe that Germany today is basically teetering on the edge of bankruptcy for various reasons. I mean, it's not what it was. And I'm not even defending the Third Reich. I'm just saying, I don't really, I mean, it seems to me that where we're going here is you're saying that any sort of regime, like communism, Islamism, Nazism, it's all bad. And so now you've got democracy and you've got freedom and you don't want to go back to any reduction in personal freedom. Is that correct?
Well, it's the human rights. Like if you look at the world, the best nations to live in, the nations where most people want to go to, are the nations that actually uphold human rights. And I know that there is the perversion of human rights, the one that the progressives are making. But I'm talking about the actual human rights written in their original spirit, not the ones that, you know, you have certain NGOs and activists that advocate for it. And freedom of movement is a human right.
And
by the way, one second, right? Because this is how it gets perverted, right? The right of freedom of movement means the right to fuck off from your own country, right? No one should hold you if you want to leave your nation. And the way the progressives are perverting this right means that freedom of movement means that a world without borders, like, for instance, anyone can come to the United States. And that's not true. That's not how the right was initially made. It means that you can leave your own country and go to another country if that country allows you. So, for instance, if the United States would say tomorrow, we don't want Romanians, well, tough shit, I can't go to the United States because going to another country is a privilege, not a right. So that is like the major fundamental difference between the perversion of human rights, the one that progressives are having, and the ones that they were written initially in the spirit. As for Nazi Germany, I want to go back to this because this is interesting about the economy. I made the video about it, and they skewed a lot of the statistics. So, for instance, when they talked about unemployment, before the Nazis came, women were also included under the unemployment statistics. So the statistics for unemployment were really high. Once the Nazis came, they actually removed the women from the unemployment statistic because they believed that women have to live under the KKK, which is like Kinder, Church, and Küche, kids, church, and the kitchen, right? Those were the three KKK. So thus, women don't need to be on the employment statistics. So they removed Jews and women, and all of a sudden, the unemployment rate dropped. It dropped because they just removed people from the statistic, not because they legitimately gave more jobs to people.
Well, this is a matter of employment statistics. It doesn't, I mean, I don't really care. You know,
well, yeah,
the
but
women
if
were
I,
there for...
Okay.
Hold on a minute. The women were then free to have children and have marriages and happy families. I mean, again, I think that's better than saying to them, go on and have a career and make yourself fucking miserable and childless.
Yeah, see, you see, they were free to have marriages and families, but in reality, they were forced to have marriages and families. And
Not really. There were extraordinary women like Leni Riefenstahl who were perfectly allowed to work.
They were the exception. I mean, just like you have social justice activists now.
Good. I'm glad that they were the exception. I think that's right. That's how it should be, because then the nation will continue. That people will survive in the long term. The situation we have now is that women are not having enough children. And look what's happening.
I don't think women are not having enough children because they are allowed to work. There's plenty of countries where women are allowed to work and they can still have children. I disagree with the progressives who are encouraging women to, like, the good woman needs to have a job and a career because otherwise she's not a good feminist. And this has happened with the actress who plays Big Bang Theory, which makes like $1 million per episode. And she also enjoyed cooking and doing housekeeping for her husband, and the feminists shame her. I think individuals should be left the fuck alone to do whatever they want. And I don't think social justice activists should tell other people, it's like, oh, okay, you're a woman, this is your role.
I think that that's asking too much of individuals. People need guidance. No one is people need social norms. And it's a question of who, of whose social norms they're going to be. If it's going to be nihilistic and... But where do the parents get their social norms from? No, but where do their parents get it from?
From
who's
their parents.
Controlling it?
Well, why doesn't it need to be controlled? No, seriously, why does everything needs to be macro-managed by some external force that decides what people need to do? You know,
because if you don't do it, someone else will do it.
Okay, well, how about if I don't do it and someone else does it, I tell them to fuck off? I mean, I consider people to be mature
adults. It's amazing. But what does that even mean? Mature adults can still be misled. Look at the migrant crisis. Look at millions of people welcoming their own replacements.
Right, and I'm against that because that's the problem. People are telling others how they need to be quote-unquote good people, and those people need to fuck off.
Because they have a totally different culture that is that is freely telling people, be patriotic and care about your people. So what about the millions of Germans and Austrians and everyone, the Swedes who went along with that? Do they need to fuck off as well? I mean, how atomized are you, V? I'm sorry, but you don't seem to care about anything but yourself.
Let me explain to you why this is, right? You don't know anything about my life. You don't know the struggles that I face and you don't know the accomplishments that I have. So with what right would someone like you come and tell me what's good for me?
No, that's just emotional blackmail. You don't know what I've been through. I mean,
right, which is why I'm not telling you how to behave.
No, hold on a second. You're saying that because your own individual story is unique, therefore no one else can understand it or understand you, and therefore nobody should give you social norms.
My parents, my friends, my family, people who know me, people who understand me. Yeah, sure, they can give me advice, and at the end of the day, I can choose to listen or not to listen. But when like a completely detached ideology from me is telling me, okay, you are a male, you are white, therefore they need to fuck off.
Let's say that 50 years from now, the Romanian people, your people, are extinct, and Romania is, an Islamic theocracy. And you, here and now, could stop that from happening by implementing policies, social norms that would prevent it. So what do you do?
But for instance, if it's an Islamic theocracy and you say that my people are extinct, I would also view them by the same lens if it would be a communist or a fascist regime. It would still be a completely different culture than the one we currently have now. As for people being extinct, I mean, that depends what you understand. Is it like mixed race and they basically had children that... Because it, yes. If, for instance, yeah, okay, if I would marry a black person and I would have kids with her, my kid would still have my genes. Just that the skin color is different. You know, you do understand.
Not just the skin. No.
Yeah, and different other attributes. But
Hold on a minute. Not just the skin color. The everything, including the intelligence. And also, your genes would survive, but in an unrecognizable form. It would not be... And also, they're recessive, probably, if we're talking about
black. They would not be black either. You know, there's actual black activists, because this is why I'm talking about the horseshoe theory, which you disagree. There's literally black activists that are talking about the black genocide. There's a video on Milo Yiannopoulos' page that has, like, 2 million views, where a black man is shaming, like, a black woman for dating a white guy.
Good.
So... Right, okay, but this is what I'm saying. Like, you and some, you know, far African nationalists, you know, you could get together and agree with these issues. Because honestly, like, most of them do want the same.
I've had two of them on Millennial already.
Okay, so why do you disagree with the horseshoe theory then?
Because they are right-wing. The two that I had T and Tree of Logic, are right-wing.
Right, I can bring you leftists if you want. You know, I can give you some Uhuru movement types, and I can even give you like far left activists, like progressive from far left campuses to have on, and they will agree with what you're saying.
They would not agree with what I'm saying, because their entire worldview is one of nihilism and egalitarianism, where they don't actually believe in, well, preserving anything.
They hate mixed marriages. They believe in
far left. Yes, but so what? I mean, that's just saying that, well, they've got something in common with me, therefore I'm just the same as them. I mean, that's just childish.
No, I'm not saying you're just the same as them, right? I'm saying they view the world through race just like you do. I'm saying that a lot of their principles... I'm saying you have the same principles, you just have different policies.
No, I don't have the same principles. I have a concern for my race, they have a concern for theirs, but that does not mean that we have the same principles.
All right. Okay. How much power do you think the government should have in a healthy society?
That's an impossible question to answer. I don't know. It depends on which issue.
0% would be anarchy. 100% would be North Korea.
Well, I don't know. 50%. Probably something like that.
Well, with 50%, they wouldn't be able to lock the borders, though.
And well, this is I don't even know where you're going with it. I mean, you can't turn this into a number.
Okay, the horseshoe theory states that in the middle you have the
horseshoe theory. It's just a retarded way of looking like you're above all of this when you're really not.
It's really not. Like, okay, let me get
in the end. You're an atomized individual who doesn't care about his people and won't lift a finger to help them survive. Right, that does not make you superior to those idiots who care about their race.
You know, the people with high IQ are atomized individuals. That, like, if you look at the Nobel Prize winners, all of them are atomized individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Putting it out there, but anyway, right? So you have
no. Whoa. You're not just putting that out there. What were you implying there?
No, because I know a lot of academics at the University of Medicine, for instance, because they think differently than other people, that they're able to make. You know, the inventions that they do.
That doesn't make you an atomized individual. That's not what we mean by the term.
Yeah, maybe I got your term. Yeah. But look at Albert Einstein, for instance, right? He leaves Germany and goes into another country. He goes into the United States and contributes his invention for the war effort to the U.S. I'm pretty sure that, you know, even though he was a Jew, maybe the Nazis could have still used his knowledge. I'm not 100% sure of that, but that they did make a lot of exceptions for certain Jewish people in the Nazi. They would give them honorary Aryan treatment.
Mm-hmm. And you know what would be even better? if the Nazis paid high IQ couples to have many children so that that wasn't necessary in the future. And that's exactly what they were doing.
Why do you think high IQ is so important? It seems that people with high IQ have less kids.
Well, you just mentioned high IQ. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah, it's important to have a couple of individuals that have high IQ. But if you'd have like the entire nation made of savants, who's going to clean the tables? Who's going to drive the trucks? Who's going to...
Yeah, I'm not making that argument. But I'm not making that argument. I'm simply saying that if you have enough high IQ people of your own, then you won't need to rely on the Jews.
I'm not saying that you need to rely on the Jews, but I do hear like, and I'm sorry if I misquoted you on this, right? I do hear like a lot of imperatives like, oh, IQ is so important. And I'm not saying it's not, right? But if you have like a lot of
people... But I'm bringing this in because you brought it in, right? You mentioned that the Nazis might have needed to employ a few high IQ Jews.
I'm saying that Albert Einstein, for instance, right? Who actually managed to invent... managed to do the Manhattan Project, not by himself, but still. Like, okay, so the idea of, let's say, paying marriages based on IQ, like, okay, when you fall in love, you don't really fall in love with the number of the IQ, you fall in love based on emotion. So you're saying that a government, sponsored program where you give people money, if they fall in love with someone else that has, how do you even do that? Like, how do you even implement that? Like, I mean, if you fall in love and you want a successful relationship, it needs to be based on emotions, on feelings, right? You have feelings of love for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, okay, I fall in love with Martha, but she's dumb as a fuck. And so, you know, she has big tits and a nice bushy,
Then you're not going to get money from the government to have six high IQ kids.
But I want to get money from the government, so I'm just going to take Jim here.
You shouldn't have fallen in love with Martha then, should you? It's your own choice.
Yeah, but this is something you choose who you fall in love with, you know?
But you shouldn't, let's put it this way, you shouldn't have married Martha. You shouldn't have been confused with Martha.
You'll get unsuccessful marriages because there's going to be people who are in poverty. They want to benefit from the government sponsorship program. And they're just going to marry with the people from high IQ in order to get more money, you know? One of them might be completely mad in love and the other one just will have the relationship out of interest.
So let's say then that everyone falls in love with someone who's lower IQ than them and they have really happy marriages and the kids are thick and then the society just goes to shit.
Oh, does IQ even fall in the question when you marry someone? Do you have a girlfriend? I'm sorry, I really don't know. And if yes, did you ask her to check her IQ so that you can compare it to yours?
Look, this is ridiculous. People are generally attracted... No, you brought it up. You brought it up when you mentioned Einstein and you thought it would be a dig against the Nazis.
Right.
The people tend to be attracted to people of roughly their own intelligence because that's the basis of having things in common, being able to converse.
Yeah,
so it's not even an issue. The point is that, I have nothing against the government paying high IQ couples to have more children than they otherwise would have. Why not?
So if people fall in love anyway, first of all, why would you need government intervention if this is the case? But secondly, I know a lot of people that are really smart, you know, usually the men, and they marry like this woman that has big tits and nice ass, but she's dumb as a rock. In fact, this is why women have big tits. It's not an evolution necessary to have like those huge mammary glands. It's because men prefer women with big tits over their intellect. I'm not saying, you know, that like it means that you can... It's not that, you know, men prefer absolutely retarded women, but when it comes for male preference, definitely having a nice body is above that of how intelligent she is.
That doesn't mean the government should pay you to marry a woman with big tits and no brain.
No, the government shouldn't pay you at all. That's not the government's business. That's not why the government is there.
Oh my God. But the point is that the government could take this on in order to incentivize high IQ couples to have more children, thus improving the gene pool, thus improving the society. I don't understand why this is controversial.
Well, I mean, if you want, you know, you can go to Islam, which has arranged marriages, and, you know, they will just look at the kids. It's like, okay, this child has high IQ, this child has high IQ, let's just make an arranged marriage for them.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm advocating something that Islam advocates, then horseshoe theory again, right?
Let me just get this out because I'm trying to get it out for like the beginning of the stream, right? The horseshoe theory means that on top you have liberty, and of course you have moderate, centrist, independents, objectivist, swing voters, and what have you. And on the bottom, you have tyranny in all of its forms. Theocracy, dictatorship, communism, socialism, fascism. They are tyranny because it forces the individual, unlawfully so, to behave in a certain way by a government that's not elected.
No, hold on a minute. There's no forcing of the individual to marry someone of a high IQ and have loads of kids. It's just incentivizing them to do so.
Right, okay, but I don't think that's the government's business, to care who I marry and who I fuck. You know, can you keep the government out of
the government has to, if it exists for any reason at all, it should be to look after the society and look after the people who are in that society.
So the government will take more taxes from me, right? It will take more taxes from me. But the money you're giving to these people has to come from somewhere, right? The government doesn't just print money, and it's it will be inflation.
It's just amazing how little concern you have for your society and your people. You're completely.
This is what I mean. Much concern you have, and here's the thing, which really annoys me about politically correct activists and piously correct activists, is the idea that you come up with these principles, which if they were enacted, there is a chance that the perfect society that you envision wouldn't happen, and at that case, would you be willing to be responsible for the failure?
What are you talking about?
You get a lot of social justice warriors who say, no, we need to do this, and we need to censor this, and we need to ban this, and we will eliminate rape, you know, rape culture. And then they go on and they say that men who joke about rape raise rape, right? So they create an area where you can't joke about rape, you can't, you know, like all these freedoms are taken away from the individual. And at the end of the day, they still claim that the rape is high in that area. So they kind of failed at what they set out to do. And you don't see heads rolling because, you know, they took away the freedom of individual and it turns out that the system they wanted to create wasn't the one that they envisioned.
Well, you know, we've got social democracy here and now, right? And everyone thought, oh, that's great. That'll work out. Just like you in Romania are thinking that right now. But we've had it for a few decades longer in Western Europe. And it hasn't worked out as intended either, because we're now on the road to being replaced.
Which are the best nations in the world right now? On the map.
Sorry?
Which are the best nations in the world right now on the map?
I don't know. On what metric?
Places you'd want to live.
Western Europe.
Okay. So why are you complaining?
Because I'll tell you why. Because 30 years from now, Western Europe is not going to be like this at all.
I heavily disagree. And if it's not going to be like this, it's not going to be because of social democracy. I mean, I'm looking at the refugee crisis, right? None of the governments that opened their gates for the refugees were saying in the election process that they want to do this. Not a single one. They didn't say, yeah, you know what? If you elect me, going to open the gates, allow as many refugees from the third world as possible. They
simply Germany... No, whoa. That's not quite true because, what you're saying is factually the words are true, but that's not the whole picture because after Merkel did that, all of the parties conspired to keep out the AfD as much as they possibly could so that that anti-immigrant vote, that anti-immigrant voice in society would be suppressed.
Yeah.
And the same in France as well, and the same in Britain as well.
You know what? Well, okay, so there's a lot more here. First of all, is the European Union, right? Where most countries, for instance, didn't get a say in it. And while they did get a say in the idea, for instance, my country did have like a vote to change the constitution to see if we get in the EU or not. The vote should have lasted one day. And if it didn't get at least half of the people voting for it, then it should have been declared null. However, they kept the voting polls open for 3 days until, you know, like they did all these... cheap tricks and tactics. And I'm sure that if you'd get like a referendum or like a Frexit or, I don't know, a Rexit or something like that in many countries, you'd see more nations leaving the EU. So this is like an EU issue, first of all. But the thing with Merkel, I think the way she wants to handle the refugee crisis is by forcing Poland, for instance, to take in refugees. Now, refugees don't want to go to Poland because, believe it or not, the road to travel from wherever they come from in order to reach Germany is not only very costly, but it's also really long and unpleasant. And they want to go to Germany because that's where the social benefits are. And if they would find out, okay, you go to Germany and now you're going to be sent to Poland, and actually be placed to work and forced to integrate, well, they don't really like that shit. So I think this is how Merkel is trying to avoid the refugee crisis, by forcing Eastern Europe to take refugees, which will get refugees to not want to come to Europe, because it's like, well, I can go to Germany, but I'll be forced to go to Romania. It's like, ugh. There were actually like a couple of refugees crying, like pissing their eyes on television because they were caught by the Romanian border and they were fingerprinted, so they had to stay in Romania, and they were absolutely devastated.
Well, maybe that's because there are no doctors in Romania.
It's not because there are no doctors in Romania.
I'm joking.
No, I get what you're saying, right? But about the doctors, right? I would rather have, let's say, South Korean immigrants rather that are, you know, capitalists and democratic like myself, than to have, let's say, immigrants from a communist nation that are white. Because they would just want to have communism here.
No, I don't think communism is genetic in that sense. People tend to try to get away from it and never go back to it. They're the only people who...
Did you ever met a far leftist, right? It's not genetic, I agree. But if you take a person from Antifa, do you think you can shake the communist out of him?
Oh, probably.
Okay, you haven't spoken with a lot of far leftists. As many as that I did, at least.
Certainly, in Western Europe, they tend to be middle-class twats who have never, you know, lived in the real world.
There is like this video made by Yuri Bezmenov. I'm not sure you heard about him. It's this Russian KGB guy who defected the USSR.
Yes,
and whatever,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
Right. And he is talking about the communists then, which were pretty similar to the ones you have now. They were in universities. They were trying to indoctrinate students. And he is saying, you can take a student and take him to the USSR, show him the gulags with his own eyes, and you show him the atrocities, he will still advocate for communism. Like, once the indoctrination has took hold, it is extremely difficult to take it away from the individual.
Right.
Well, so it's not genetic.
I don't know. It's not genetic, but okay. Let's say that they believe it. They really believe it wholeheartedly. But I mean, so what? I don't know where this is going. I agree with you. I don't like communism. I'm not a fan of it.
If you'll get 10,000 communists and put them in a city, they will try to, you know, subvert that nation, regardless of their race. Just like if you take Muslims that are hardcore Islamists and put them in Germany, they will try to subvert Germany because of their ideology.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want Muslims in Romania?
Yeah, it's an ideology. Of course I don't want it. I mean, here's the thing.
So that's a collectivist thing. You want to protect Romania and the Romanian people from that.
If I would get Christian Palestinians or atheist Palestinians, I would really have no problem.
Well, this sounds a bit horseshoe-ish, to be honest, because you're saying that you want to keep an ideology. I mean, what right do you have to keep an ideology out of your country? That's tyranny, isn't it?
No, keeping people out is not something bad. I just said, you know, America can close down its borders to Romania if it so desires. But for instance, a country can't keep its people inside, because that is the tyranny. You have the right to leave your country if you so wish. The government doesn't have the right to keep you in the United Kingdom, right?
But what I would say, hold on a minute. Yeah. I'm not that hung up on forcibly keeping people in a country. But I did say that earlier on. And what I meant... Yes. Hold on. And what I meant was, I think it is wrong to get your medical training or whatever, an extensive university education on taxpayer money, and then not give those taxpayers the benefit of your education. Now, whether that should be made illegal or not, whether you should be literally kept away from the border so that you can't leave, that's another matter. But I do think that the government should probably say to people, especially with
talks,
long degrees.
There were talks, for instance, if the government paid for your university, that if you want to leave, you have to pay the government back. But mm-hmm. what the government found out is that the people who actually live to the United Kingdom, for instance, they will work there and send money back to their parents at home, money that then gets taxed. And the Romanian government...
There still aren't doctors there.
Yeah, of course. But then you have people like me, for instance, who have graduated the University of Medicine and realized that YouTube is far more profitable than being a doctor. So what do you do with these people then?
I mean that's an unfortunate thing.
Yeah, if you're going to pay people $200 per month to be a doctor, and you're going to force them to be on watch 41 hours per day, 5 days a week, 5 days a month, you're not going to get a lot of people, you know, wanting to remain in the system. Like the problem isn't that people are living; that's the symptom. The problem is that doctors are underpaid in Romania.
So you need to improve the economy of Romania.
The problem, which why you can't improve the economy in Romania, is because of the huge corruption that is still a remnant of the communist system.
So you need to reduce the corruption.
Yeah, and how would you reduce the corruption? Because it's not that simple.
I'll tell you what the last thing I would do is. The last thing I would do if I wanted to reduce corruption is invite other ethnic groups into the country.
I don't think other ethnic groups even want to come into the country, first and foremost. But I guess like we do have ethnic groups. There's like a lot of ethnic friction in Romania. The Hungarians, they want independence. So they do have this...
Again, doesn't that suggest... I mean, I fully understand. I believe that is the case. Doesn't that suggest that people, ethnic groups, should have their own states so that they're not, you know, lying to each other and corrupting and all
no,
that?
No, it suggests that the people who are fanning the flames of ethnicity need to be told to shut the fuck up and not given position of power. Like, for instance, in Romania, there is a law that you can't start parties based on ethnicity. And yet there is a Hungarian party which has found a loophole. And the problem is that instead of plucking that loophole, it's allowed to exist, and they do have this Hungarian party that, you know, is going to ally themselves with whomever is in power and benefit from the corruption in order to get more...
Well, I mean, first of all, you could just suggest to those Hungarians that they leave Romania. Obviously, their Hungarian ethnicity means something to them, so why don't they move to Hungary?
Because they don't want to move to Hungary.
Well, that's a shame. But another thing is, I understand about the political parties, but there will also be organizations that advocate for a particular ethnic group's interests, and you can't make them illegal. So you're still, even if you closed that loophole and got rid of that Hungarian party, you would still have the problem of ethnic conflict. So yeah, again, why not just... your solution ultimately is, well, my solution is encourage people, ethnic groups, to have their own societies. Your solution is tell people not to care about ethnicity.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, but that means that means obviously these things do matter to people. So you would be basically telling them, stop caring about this thing that matters to you, that is important to your sense of yourself, and just become an atomized individual. But then, then they end up not caring about the future, not identifying with anything, and just being easily misled and manipulated by globalist powers because there's nothing for them to.
Of course, there is. There is classical liberalism. Don't care about the race. Then you have the progressive and the globalist. You need to care about
classical,
the race.
Classical liberalism is not an identity. It's just an attitude. It's just a political position. Yeah. It's not an identity.
You have the identity of you as an individual, your family, your close friends, the one that know you the most. And those are the people you need to listen to. You don't need to listen to someone who never met you in their entire life and thinks they know best what's for you. Because we move away from the ethnicity thing, which you opened, right? There is free speech. And, you know, people who want to fan the flames of ethnicity, like you, for instance, that's fine. And you're going to have to disagree with people like me who don't want to fan the flames of ethnicity. People who listen to both of us are mature adults, and they can choose if they should listen to you or if they should listen to me. I mean, this is the correct way of handling things.
Well, what I would say is you are doing a similar thing because you're trying to spread your creed, your classical liberalism, race blindness, and all that.
I don't deny that. I am a classical liberal activist.
So you are trying to influence other people and tell them what's best for them.
Yeah, I'm not forcing them. I'm putting on my opinions, and people, you know, on YouTube can listen to me. They can also listen to you.
Well, I'm not forcing them either.
Yeah, if you're going to ever be censored, if your videos are going to be taken down, I would talk against that, and I will raise awareness that your videos have been demonetized or they have been, you know, silenced, because I don't believe in silencing people. However,
no, I don't like it.
Yeah, of course. But you say you don't believe in forcing people, yet you say that the government should have 50% control. That is way too.
No, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. I just asked, that was just a number plucked out of thin air. No, but that's a completely. I mean, first of all, I don't think it's something you can characterize as a number. And second, it's not a question that I've ever even considered before, like the percentage of power that a government should have over everything. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. Okay, it doesn't make sense.
Right, let me rephrase it.
How much you can love somebody, zero to one. You know,
Okay. Well, my bad then. The question would be like, how much control would the government have over the private individual? You know, how many...
In what way should the private individual be allowed to stockpile nuclear weapons? I mean, what does it mean?
Okay, so for instance, who you marry with, if you're allowed to leave the country, if you're allowed to, for instance, associate with individuals of other ethnicity, those kinds of things, you know?
I think it should be
freedom of speech. Yeah, okay.
I think that race mixing should be discouraged for many reasons. Do you want me to list those reasons?
Well, all right. So, no, because at the end of the day, it's the principle, right? You're not really far to the right, in my opinion. You are what I would call a pious activist. It would be like the opposite of a social justice activist, where you want to use the pressure of society in order to
and so do you.
In a certain direction. No, I just said
no, I want to push individuals in a certain direction, and so do you.
Well, people who watch you, I don't think are bad people, and I wouldn't force them to stop watching you. For instance, you're a piously correct activist in the way of if someone marries, let's say, a black woman, there should be major social pressure and social shame upon that person, right?
Yes.
Okay, I don't believe that's the case. This is why we differ, right?
Here's the thing. Other ethnic groups have that attitude. And that means that if we don't have that attitude, then we are going to be, replaced by them, ultimately. This is something that you can't, and you can just drop out of it and say, I don't care, but then you are betraying your people, your ancestors.
This is the thing, right? If you find,
well, I think the survival of a people is more important than the freedoms of one individual, or here and now to race mix.
That is not something. You put the group
every,
in front of the
any social poli- any social well, yes, I do actually. In this case, yes, I think that it's a group is more important than your freedom. I mean, is it really so difficult for you to find a white woman to fall in love with? I mean, it isn't. So it's not like
my dick is let me tell you what I tell the progressives, right? My dick has a mind of its own. And if it turns out to like an Asian woman, then Mr. President is going to start liking Asian women. I'm sorry, but I don't take the decisions in this matter. You know, this is like encouraging how progressives want to encourage, like, you need to like fat women, you know, and fat dudes. It's like, no.
What about if your dick liked a child?
In the case of child, right, it's freedom until you hurt someone. There is absolutely no way an adult and a child could have a relationship without hurting the child, which is why pedophilia is wrong anymore.
And there is no way that you and I could race mix with an Asian or whatever without hurting your people.
Yeah, but first of all, you just made the definition of my people. Secondly, the child would be of a completely different race that wouldn't be either white and wouldn't be even Asian.
Yes, yeah, so it would have no identity. Yeah, yeah. And that's cruel because they're more prone to depression and suicide and so on.
Okay, but what if I, as a parent, am capable of raising it without being prone to depression and suicide and so on?
You're not.
How do you know? You're applying the average upon me when you don't even know my parental capabilities.
Well, okay. That's like saying, well, because this one person can handle this thing, therefore we should not discourage everyone from doing it.
Maybe I'm that particular person.
So what? Good for well, good for you, but judging, everyone else isn't.
You're judging me that I married an Asian woman without
actually... What you are saying is we should allow people and just not even discourage people from doing things that are damaging to their children, society at large, and so on, just because some individuals will be able to handle it.
No, what I'm saying is that you have no right to tell people who they want to talk to.
It's just an entirely selfish idea. Again, you don't care about your nation. You don't care about your people. Yes, but not so selfish. I mean, there are always limits to selfishness. Well,
can we put the limit at the dick? I do think I am entitled to do with my dick whatever the fuck I please. And no creationist, no Christian, no progressive, no communist, no fascist.
It's so disgusting. It's so disgusting that your dick is more important to you than your people.
But mate, I don't care the moral faggotry that you spin. The Christians also thought.
Do you not find it disgusting? Do you not find it? Do you think it's noble that your sex drive is more important to you than your people?
Well, okay. First of all,
do you have a concept of nobility? Do you even have a concept of nobility?
Right, but it's not said by you. It's said by my mom and dad. And here's the thing, right? This is the whole issue that I want to talk about. The idea of, who elected you to represent white people? You keep saying your people.
Nobody, but...
Okay, right. So if nobody elected you, how can you talk for white people?
Well, who elected... Hold on a minute. Did the white race in general elect Jewish academics who then trained them to hate themselves and not care about their race?
I'm against them, mate. I am against them. I dedicated that entire channel talking against them, and this is the exact argument that I say. Who exactly elected those Jewish people to talk on behalf of others? My entire channel just takes this university professor who talks about genders. And
so in the end, people win through this either by their intelligence, their how articulate they are, or how convincing their ideas are. It's all a matter of persuasion. Nobody elected me. I'm not a politician.
What? Well, this is the thing, right? You can talk about your ideas on your channel, right? I talk about my ideas on my channel. And if you manage to persuade enough people to the point where you can start a political party and, you're going to be voted. And I'll say, yeah, you did represent the white people because look how many voted for you. And, you got into office and then you can enact whatever policies you want. But until that day, you're just putting your ideas upon others. Right.
Yeah. And I'm trying to encourage people to be loyal to their race. Yes.
Okay, but what if your idea of loyalty to their race isn't actually represented to the race itself? The race is not a person that has certain loyalties and demands. You're just talking on the behalf of, quote-unquote, the race, and other peoples might not agree with you. You don't even know if a majority of people actually support you.
And so what? I mean, they either will or they won't. We're going to find that out. And my job is to persuade as many of them as possible.
Let me tell you why I am always against the alt-right. And when I say alt-right, I mean like far-right collectivist ideology. There is so many reasons against massive migration. There's cultural, there's economical. Race is like on the bottom of them. When I talk against the massive immigrations of Europe, and I'm against it, right? And I make a compelling argument to the point where I can red pill a normie, as you would say, so that he votes against Merkel. After watching my video, and he scrolls down in the comment section, and he says, fuck all sand niggers, or something like that. Well, he's not going to want to interact with that. So at the end of the day, when I look at the far right, I see fringed internet communities that are pretty much like fuck all normies. Don't really care if they want to engage with other people or not. And this is scaring a lot of potential people away. This is why I think Sargon of Akkad did far more to raise awareness of the importance of not allowing millions of refugees into your country. Because at the end of the day, our job is to do activism, right? And how do you judge who does better activism? It's how far the message...
Who elected Sargon of Akkad?
The number of subscribers that thumb up his video and that you see are watching.
And the alt-right is growing all the time. identitarian communities are growing all the time.
Do you have a single outright channel with more than 50,000 subscribers? Like, if you would have a really good message tomorrow, you just discover something and you want to spread the message, how many people would hear it?
About 500,000.
Okay. And if Sargon of Akkad discovers something tomorrow, how many people do you think will hear it?
But this is just, right, first of all, there are several alt-right channels that have more than 50,000. I think Red Ice has 160,000 and so on. But what you're saying is that because Sargon of Akkad today has more subscribers than any alt-right channel, therefore the people are not, the public will be on site.
Yeah.
That's very naive.
You know why that is? Because he doesn't separate people based on race and ethnicity. The things that he's talking about resonate with people regardless of their race. If I'm a black person in the United Kingdom, or even if I'm a Muslim in the United Kingdom that is not a complete Islamist, I understand that having more refugees coming in is going to affect my business because there's going to be more people that are going to look for the same jobs that I do. So the economical argument manages to persuade even the ideological opposite person, because at the end of the day, how much money is he going to make?
Well, the atomized individual cares about how much money he's going to make. Other people care about things other than just money.
Well, I hope there's a lot of people that care about more than just money then, because this is also...
So do I. It would be a really cruel world if everyone just cared primarily about money, wouldn't it?
I do think people care primarily about money. This is the cold, hard reality. This is why socialism doesn't work. Because the socialist also believes that people don't care about money. They're just going to go to their job and they're going to work as hard as possible for whatever job is possible without any financial remuneration.
Well, you know, I actually agree with you to the extent that I think that this world today, yes, money is king, and that it has not always been like this. It's really just throughout the 20th century that became the case. And I think that it's not healthy. It's not right for us to care first and foremost about economics. It is economically efficient to import loads of low-wage workers into your country, but that is not a morally good thing to do because you're undercutting your own workers and betraying them.
So yeah, because of illegal immigration, that's why. Like, if you were to import workers from other countries legally, the difference wouldn't be that big, right? Because now companies go like, okay, I need to pay this guy a little less, but at least he doesn't understand the main language. He doesn't understand, you know, a lot of things. I need to train him from zero. But when you have illegals, they don't pay taxes. They don't exist. So the problem isn't that there is immigration. The problem is that the law isn't applied. Those illegals shouldn't even be in the nation in the first place. So you don't...
I agree.
Yeah, but
I agree that they shouldn't be there. But also, if you... But what about, for example, there's a sort of cliche. Polish workers who go to Britain and they live in, eight guys in a single flat, and they have much lower wages, and they send the money back to Poland, of course. But in the meantime, native British workers are not getting those jobs because they are outcompeted by people who are prepared to work for much less. That it's legal, but how is it good?
Well, isn't that why Britain left the European Union?
One of the reasons, yeah, okay, and it will still happen. It will still happen.
It depends. Yeah, I guess it depends on the
it does.
Government.
And
yeah,
the
it
point
depends on the Brexit
point,
negotiations.
We can talk about the political structures and so on. It doesn't matter. The principle here is: are you looking after your native people, or are you allowing them to be screwed over by unscrupulous employers?
Well, in this case,
and I think that a healthy society shouldn't allow that.
Yeah, as I said before, immigrating to a country is a privilege. It's not a right. So the new government that's going to be after the Conservatives in Britain, after Britain leaves the EU, they should go, okay, well, we don't really need more Polish workers. We're going to put a cap to this immigration. Now, I think we are in a complete agreement on the fact that allowing more people to come in is bad for the British people. However, Where we differ is that when I consider, for instance, Romanian or British, I use the definition of the international law that if someone has British citizenship now, he has obligation towards the British country, and he also has certain rights that the British government needs to give him. So you would look at a black person and you would say, well, this is not a British person. And I would say, well, hold on, you know, did his ancestors serve in the military? Did his, you know, people pay taxes? So, of course, you know, if he has British citizenship, he is by all rights a British person.
Only by that civic nationalist definition. Obviously, I understand that the reality today is that, yes, there are lots of, let's say, black people, for example, who, yes, they pay taxes and all the rest of it. But the point is that I don't want any more of them in Britain. I don't want them to multiply and ultimately outnumber my own people.
You can't remove them without having a tyrannical government. I'm sorry. Hold on a minute.
Yeah. Any law will require violence if it's to be upheld. You know, there always has. I know what you're going to say, that the only way you'll get rid of them is through violence. But, well, first of all, it's their choice to resist. It's their choice to not go on the
This is not my argument. My argument is that this is a law that violates human rights. So what it means is that you've now crossed the line where you can
human rights are whatever we say they are.
Yeah, they are. But if you look objectively around the world, the nations that uphold human rights are the best nations to live in. And if you are willing to cross
this
line...
Yeah, and that's not going to... And that's, by the way, that's not going to remain the case. As I said, 30 years from now, Western European countries are not going to be the best places in the world. They are absolutely going to be degraded because the average IQ will fall, Islam will multiply, and so on. So in order to... if you like these countries, if you value them, and I think that you have a rather... idealistic idea about what Western Europe is like. I think you admire these countries. Well, if you do, then you have to look after their future. And if in order to look after their future, you have to look after the people who created those societies and shaped them and maintain them here and now. And the people who maintain these Western societies here and now are not the Muslims. It's not the blacks. They do some jobs, sure, but ultimately it's still a white country,
I do agree with you, which is why I want to raise awareness against these globalists, which I do perceive them as a danger. But I think people like me and Sargon do open more eyes than people like you.
That has been the case, and it probably will be the case for a while yet. But ultimately, people are not going to be satisfied with the central classical liberal message.
As for the whole human rights issue, right? Let's say that today you say, okay, I, as a British government, can just take away citizenship from blacks. There's nothing.
Well, it happened in Germany. It happened in Germany. They revoked passports.
Not passports. I'm talking about people who are black.
I got it wrong. They revoked the citizenship of, I think it was two Muslim guys who had actually been born in...
Yeah, but it's dual citizenship, right? So I'm not talking about dual citizenship. I'm talking about someone who has a single citizenship, is a British person, and you're going to say, okay, since he's not white, we're going to take away his citizenship. Once you reach that threshold, there is nothing that would stop people then separating on ethnicity. And they would say, okay, we don't want any Irish in England. And they'll be like, okay, you're an Irish, we take away your citizenship as well. And I don't have rights. There is absolutely, when you create this weapon, you create this power, right? You create the ring of power, if you will, where the state can now just dictate who gets to be a citizen and who isn't. It can be really nice when you get to wield the ring of power, but once someone that's on the far left comes in charge, you just created the whole system where they can just get the strings and, use the government for their benefit. They chimped out when Trump won the election, and they were like, oh my god, they're not going to get access to the drone strikes, and they're going to get access to the NSA, holy shit. It's like, well, yeah, but Obama created it, look what you did. You fucking happy? And you gave the state so much power, and now someone else got in charge? Congratulations, you idiots.
It sounds like I understand the point you're making. I think that you are really obsessed with the state having power over people in general and you as an individual. And you think your feeling is always that it will go wrong, it will be bad, and it's just ugly.
My parents grew up from this, right? You understand? My parents grew up.
Yes, and I can see why you would run from it. I really understand that. I'm not talking about implementing a communist dictatorship or whatever, a fascist dictatorship. I'm talking about encouraging ethnocentrism in people so that they start to care far more than they do today.
I understand what you're doing, right? But you can't have a state that takes away its citizens' rights. Like, this is the core rights you're talking about, right? If a person is not a citizen, he's going to have significantly lesser rights than any other person in that country. Right? So the state just did a grave injustice to him. You can't do this without having a totalitarian government. Democratic government can't do this. And not only
you could say that.
That person hold on probably a second. Served in the military, probably paid taxes, right? Now maybe he wants the taxes back. Now maybe he wants, you know, the time he spent in the military back. How are you going to do that without being an injustice to him?
Well, what about this? Let's say a native British person like myself, for example, I've put a lot into Britain in various ways, and I want to benefit from that, and I want my children and grandchildren to benefit from that. But guess what? They're not going to, because it's going to be an Islamic theocracy.
Do you have a crystal ball, and do you manage to see the future? I mean, you do understand that.
Do you care? But do you even care about the future at all? It sounds like you don't.
Well, it's just that I don't identify with this idea of, how should I even call it, race loyalty that you say. I care more about the ideology, right? I care about Enlightenment values, human rights, capitalism, democracy, the things that do make the Western society great. And it's really
But hold on a minute. Who actually made those, who actually came up with those ideas?
Exactly.
And who implements them? Yeah,
it has been the British, the whites, but it seems that you want to dismantle what the whites did by championing what the whites want to do. And for me, it's baffling, right? You want to take away some of the things that the West is what it
in
is.
In order
now.
To preserve it, yes. Preserve it, something has to be done, yes.
How are you preserving it?
If we go on like this. Wait.
It wouldn't be the
hold
West.
On, wait. Okay. Jesus Christ, calm down. In order to preserve this for the long term, something is going to have to be done in the near future. Because if we don't, this is going to completely perish, and there will be no long term for Western civilization. Right?
But it's
not going to be nice. I don't think it will be enjoyable for people. I think that we should. And also, it doesn't have to mean mass deportation of every non-white person. I mean, we can incentivize them. And also, we can pay them not to have kids. We can pay them to get sterilized.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Do you understand by saying something like this, you are just going to push more people away to the far left?
Well, all I'm saying is that we have to look after what we have, what we have been given by our ancestors. I don't understand why that is such a dreadful thing.
Well, I don't think our ancestors gave us the idea of sterilizing people.
No. Well, that's just... Look, that's one possibility.
Now,
all I'm saying is we can incentivize people... You
don't
need to focus on that one thing. It's not like I'm advocating it right here and now. I'm saying it's a possibility that our future society might use. But it's just... I mean, for God's sake, it's not... it wouldn't be the first time. You know, it's not like... Here's the thing. We are talking about the future of Western civilization, right? And we're talking about the future of our race, indeed, our ethnic groups. And the idea that, oh, well, that's just not worth it. I can't believe that.
I would believe you if the ethnic group would elect you to lead them, right? If you would be the representative of your ethnic group through, you know, at least a majority of votes, not all of them, and say that this is our interest, you know, millennial votes, go represent them. But it's not like that. It's not bottom up. It's top down, right? And this is why I disagree with it. It's the same like the communists. So we represent the workers, and it's like, well,
in
the workers really like
Hold on. In the end, everything is top down. Society does not work on the individuals just randomly deciding to do things.
I disagree. The way your ancestors created the classical liberal ideology was bottom down.
It's not
down
our situation
ideology.
Anymore. It's not that situation. We now have a multiracial situation, and these other races are competing with us. They do see themselves as groups, and if we don't, we are going to get fucked. We are going to get fucked literally and metaphorically. So it's not the classical liberal situation of the early 19th century anymore. That's just naive.
Back then, that were also competing with each other. I mean, and now I don't think it's necessarily a race competition. It's an ideological competition. I mean,
Hold on a minute. I think that other races do see it as a racial competition, and certainly Islam sees it as a racial and religious competition.
No, Either way,
secular whites are going to get fucked.
Okay, first of all, secular whites would be the communists and the Antifa as well. So I don't know if they're getting fucked because they do seem to be in quite a lot of positions of power. Like if you look at many CEOs in Facebook, Google, you do have white people that are secular. But what I wanted to say is that Islam doesn't view itself as a race. In fact, it's the opposite. Islam does view itself
as... It doesn't matter. Yeah, I understand. It wants to conquer the whole world. I know all that.
Yeah,
but from our point of view, that is irrelevant. Shut up! Shut up!
But you're wrong.
Let me finish a point. No, okay. I'm not wrong. You are naive. You are thinking, well, because Islam doesn't care about race, therefore race doesn't come into it. No, race does come into it because they are a different race from us, by and large. And if they take over, absolutely, we will lose our racial identity as well as our cultural and religious identity. It is a racial thing as well, because we are white and they're not.
If you think Polish people convert to Islam, because that's all it takes, right? And they start reading the Sharia and they believe, and you know they do the five pillars of the Islamic faith, they would still be white and they would also be Islamic. Would you also want them in your country at that point?
No.
But why? They're white people.
No, because that's a total straw man. You're saying that because they're white, I must be...
Well, it's a hypothetical situation.
Yes, all right. And the answer is no. I wouldn't want Islam in my country en masse. I would not want it in a position where it could take control. No.
Okay, so it's ideological. It's not racist.
It's both. And if I don't call it racist. I would say it's ethnocentric.
Okay, if I would gather all the radical white Islamic people in the world, and I would then send them to Britain, would you welcome them because they're white people? But they would also advocate for Sharia law. Well, no, right? So it's ideological. And it's the same with communism. Hey, at the end of the day, I do think ideology is what scares me the most. I'm not afraid of black people because they're black. I'm afraid of people who have an ideology that is based on violence. Communism is based on the violence upon the rich, the wealthy, and the people who oppose them. Islam is based on the violence of people who are non-Islamic. This is like the things that are more scary to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, the system that we have just now, the situation that we have just now, is going to deliver violence onto all white people in Europe, right? And they're ultimately not going to exist anymore.
Well, I heavily disagree with it. Europe has gone through two black plagues, has gone through the invasion of the Moors, they have gone through so many minorities, the Goths, the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, people who purposefully tried to genocide entire nations, and yet Europe survived. So I honestly think that while there is a problem...
And it survived because people took action in order to preserve it. You don't seem to be willing to take any action
I do think that Romania and Poland is taking quite a lot of action. I mean, how many refugees did Romania take? How many refugees did Poland take? Huh? And if you look at, people like...
But they're already here, right? Yeah, sure. Good for Poland. Good for Romania, but the rest of us do have these refugees.
Yeah, please explain why people are leaving Poland then. You know, if having like a white country is so amazing, why are Polish people going for the multicultural West?
That's another issue. What you're implying there is that I think any white country must be better than any mixed race country. I don't think that.
Oh, okay, my bad then.
Right. I mean, it's not as simple as, well, white people equals fantastic and mixed country equals shit. I don't think like that. It is both things. But again, ultimately, Polish people will not be leaving Poland for Western Europe 30 years from now because it's going to be fucking Islamic.
Lower
IQ as well. I mean, it's just not going to be as economically, it's not going to be as wealthy as it is today because we're We've got loads of low IQ people who are having loads of kids, and all the rest of it, and Islam as well. So you seem to have this idea that Western Europe, as it is today, the political ideas of it that it has today, it's just great. Maximum freedom for the individual, so much wealth, so much freedom, and it will last forever. No, it will not. And it's precisely because there is so much atomized individualism. People don't care about the long term. They don't care about their race.
I think people don't care too much about diversity and other collectivist nonsense. If people would just care about, as you say, the atomization of the individual, they wouldn't
give a shit. White people caring about diversity are the opposite of collectivist. They are abandoning their collective. No, they're abandoning their collective.
It's just a different collective, mate. Like that's what you fail to see. It's just a different collectivist. They're racist with a guilty conscience. They're being told that because they're white, they have enslaved others and they have many wars and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, that's true. But they are acting in an anti-collectivist manner because they're betraying their race, their own people.
You think that the race is the only collective that you can have? There's different, like a collective ideology means groupthink. You're doing what other people tell you. And you're not doing it because you filtered it through your thought process. You're doing it because going against the collective means you're going to be punished by the collective. So in order to avoid getting punished by the collective, you're not going to speak your mind.
Well, you could say that about any social norm. I mean, ideas are fashionable, and to go against them is always dangerous. It's always socially
expected. In Romania, I can say anything without getting fired, for instance, right? So it's not that collectivist. Like, I can't really think of anything that I could say on Facebook that would get me fired from a job. Can you say the same thing about Britain?
No.
Okay, so clearly you have a more collectivist culture in Britain. If that's the case, right? That there are certain ideas that you can't speak in public.
Well, then why do you say it's one of the best countries in the world?
Well, because despite all the negatives and, you know, the collectivism and shit like that, I would still rather live in Britain.
Mm.
Because you do...
You'd have less individual freedom.
Yeah, there are different countries that, you know, all countries have pluses and minuses. And when you put them on a scale, I do think that Britain has more pluses than Romania has.
So individual freedom is not the best, the most important thing, then.
Well, it's not about that.
You are prepared to you're clearly prepared to sacrifice some freedom in order to have a better life.
It's not that, for instance, you can't say what I mean. Anything that I say would probably not get me fired in Britain. I mean, I'm looking at Sargon of Akkad, and I'm looking at you, right? Well, never mind, because you would probably get fired. But Sargon of Akkad, for instance, right? So I'm judging based on myself. What exactly would I have to lose if I go to Britain? And if Sargon of Akkad doesn't get fired for what he says, I wouldn't get fired for what I say. However, in Britain, you don't have the same level of corruption you have in Romania. I mean, Romania is highly collectivist if you look at the collectivist index. Britain, I think, is one of the most individualistic countries in the world if you look at the index for countries. I'm individual. Yes. Same with the United States.
Anglo countries tend to be very individualist, but that is now a problem because we are going to get wiped out.
Well, you keep saying that, and you know, it's your right to say it.
Hold on a minute. The evidence is just there, right? Go to London, go to Birmingham, go to Manchester, Luton, Leicester, and many other cities now, and many other towns. We are being replaced. There is no doubt about them.
Right. How do you know that in, let's say, 5 years or the next generation, white people won't just have a lot more kids?
Because they're atomized individuals who care more about their career and freedom than about having kids.
Yeah, but that's what happens with all the wealthy people. But how do you know that once the wealth goes down and people become more poor, they're going to be worried about the future, so they're going to have more kids?
Well, I don't know that.
Well, that is what I'm saying.
You seem to be saying, well, unless you know that this is going to happen, then you shouldn't take any actions to prevent it from happening.
Well, you want to take freedoms away. So, yeah, I do think you need to be really sure before you make such impactful decisions. I mean, if you look at the demographics around the world, you will see that people, when the country gets rich, people start having less kids. When the country gets poor, people start having more kids. So it's more like a wave rather than, you know, a downwards arrow.
So what you're saying, is this what you're saying? That as the lower IQs of, you know, black people and so on cause our economy to go down and we're less rich as a result, then white people in Britain will start caring more about the future because they're poor and they'll start having more kids.
It's not about the economy going down because black people have more kids and the IQ goes down. The problem is that, as you say, whites don't have kids. And if you look at the IQ by countries, you will notice that countries with high IQs also have very low birth rates.
Yes, but it doesn't have to be like that. This is the thing. And it happens, I believe, and it happens not just in Western Europe, it also happens in East Asia as well. I think because there are simply more options for people to indulge. And that's nice on the face of it. But what it means is that those countries, you know,
I will tell you the wealthy life of a doctor, right? If I want to be a doctor, I have to study 6 years of medicine and then you get 4 years of residency, right? During those 6 years, I consider to be the hardest time of my life. I got 10 hours at the university. There were breaks in between, of course, but mostly like I would wake up, then spend 10 hours at the university, come home and then study. I don't know when I would have had the time to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, right, after you finally manage to go to the hospital and you have a job, you start to worry about, okay, I'm going to have a kid. I want to put him through a good university.
Ideal then would be to have a wife who wasn't working so she could look after the kids.
Right. I would not be able to do that due to the economy. Like, you need two incomes in the household in order to, like, only the most prosperous and rich countries can afford to have a person staying at home. That's just not an option in Romania. All right.
Now, well, that was an option in the Third Reich.
Yeah, and did they win the war?
That doesn't matter. That's not the issue. That's ridiculous. No, what you're just saying there is, unless a social system...
Why was the United States more wealthy than the Third Reich?
Well, hold on a second. What you're saying is, unless a social system enables you to beat the combined power of the British Empire, the Soviet Union, and America, then it's not good for you.
Why did they put themselves in that position? I tell you why they put themselves in that position.
I'm not getting into that.
They invested all their economy in warfare. It does matter.
I am not. And also, America, after the war, did exactly the same thing and encouraged them to stay at home.
Yes, because they actually won the war.
Yes, and it worked. There was a baby boom.
Yeah, and it was a baby boom for a while. And once the other nations recovered and they could compete with America, I don't know if it's really possible in America for, let's say, a medium income home to be able to have the guy working, have four kids and the wife staying at home. I don't know if it's financially feasible for them to do that now.
No, it's not. But, you know, this is the point. America in the 50s had a culture, had a society, an economy that could, a guy working a job, a manual job, could support four kids. Isn't that good?
All the other nations in the world were fucked, right? And that's why they managed to do that. Because the war fucked everyone but them. Now, Germany invested all their economy, almost all, in infrastructure. If you look at their railways, they constantly have to replace them. They were not a prosperous economy, despite what the German propaganda was telling you. I mean, if we're going to go by the logic of the propaganda, the USSR was also one of the most successful nations in the world. You know, just read some Soviet literature, and they're like, oh, look how wealthy they are. And it baffles the mind when I see people quoting German literature from that time and going, oh, look, the nation was prosperous. No, it wasn't. The only reason the Germans won is because they were actually good at warfare. But they weren't really, I mean, Romania sent more troops into the USSR than any other German ally together. And the only reason we went into the USSR is because we were promised weaponry and machinery for war. The Germans didn't provide with that. We gave them a lot of oil in exchange because Romania was really rich in oil. But the Germans didn't give us because they didn't have any. So this is what really annoys me when people keep saying that Germany was like this booming economy. I mean, it wasn't bad, don't get me wrong, but this is why they tried to conquer other nations in order to just be able to fill in the holes that they have. Sorry,
Well, you'll need to debate that with someone else who knows more of the detail of the history. It seems to me, and again, I'm not even defending it or holding it up as the ideal society. I'm just saying they had a policy whereby women stayed at home and raised kids. The same thing was in America in the 50s.
You know what really annoys me about all this? You have the privilege of being born into one of the amazing countries in the world, right? And instead of advocating for cultures and philosophy that was made in Britain, you're actually advocating for one of the most shittiest philosophies from a country you managed to defeat. Well, not you, but your ancestors. And you're advocating the philosophy of the loser. It's like the Young Turks advocating for Hillary Clinton. It's like, why would you side with the loser?
What you're saying is because Germany lost the war, therefore its social system must have been bad.
Their economy was bad. The decisions that they made were bad. They didn't have...
Well, I don't know. There are loads of people in the live chat here saying, no, it was booming and they used the same policies in the
50s. Yeah, they're using Germany propaganda. Yeah. They're using German Nazi propaganda. That's what they're using. Because I looked at the sources that they're quoting. Right? It's the same like if I would go to the USSR and source communist propaganda, it would show that it's the most booming nation on earth. Hell, Romania, right? Romania was also booming during communism. And by the way, it managed to pay off all of its external debt. But when you look at the life of the individual, it was some of the most decrepit life that you could possibly have, to stay at minus 20 degrees in winter time, freezing your ass off in house because, you know, the state was just booming in economy.
Well, I don't know what you're asking me. I mean, anyway, I'm not defending the Third Reich. I'm simply saying it had a policy whereby women had kids. And
yeah, you can't
thus,
afford
and they were rewarded.
Look. Okay, let's take it from another perspective.
Oh, God.
Right?
No,
you
I
have
don't
two
want
countries.
To. No, no, it doesn't matter, right? Side issue. All I'm saying is you should care about the continuation of your people. Now, I don't care whether the Third Reich had a system in place that could do that or not. All I'm saying is we should look for one because the current economic system encourages people to not have kids or to have one kid, and that's going to greatly reduce the size of the population with each generation. So how can that possibly be good? Now, let go of the Third Reich thing because I'm not attached to it. I don't care. It's just one example. And again, other countries have had the similar system. So it's... All I'm saying is you should care about the future of your people. And again, that is really where we disagree.
Yeah, I don't want the future of my people where they're forced into making decisions they don't want. And second of all, if you have a country where women work and another country where women don't work, and you place them on a capitalist international economy, who do you think is going to have the advantage?
Sorry, could you state the question again?
If you have a country where women work and another country where women don't work and you place them on a capitalist system of international economy, who do you think is going to have the advantage?
The country where women work, I would imagine, but then they're not going to have as many kids.
Depends. I mean, you need to see why people have kids and why people don't have kids. The more IQ a person have, they are going to prioritize based on quality rather than quantity. When you have people who are poor and they literally don't care, like I'm looking at white people in the rural villages of Romania, right? They have a farm and they are going to have five or six kids because they literally don't care about putting them through college, about giving them a good education. All they care is about having farmhands. So for them, the idea of being alone at an elderly age is really scary. So they will have like as many kids as possible. And then when you take a doctor or you take, you know, someone who's an engineer or something like that, he is going to prioritize on putting his kids through engineering school, but he's not going to be able to have five or six kids and afford putting them all through university.
Mm-hmm. So and a good society would facilitate him in doing that.
You need to choose between having people with high IQ and less kids or having people with low IQ and many kids.
Or having a society that is collectivist to some extent.
I don't think like
because then you can have the high IQ and the high numbers of kids.
I think a really collectivist society would be Japan. That would probably be what you're saying, and even they don't have as many kids as you think.
No, I know they have this. They have a similar problem now. But their advantage, though, is that they have a very huge population and they can afford to downsize because they're not going to be replaced. Whereas we do have other populations in our countries who will outbreed us.
And there is also one more thing that you keep forgetting, and I've never seen the outright debate about this, but there is a huge infertility crisis going on. And I made a couple of videos about this. I believe last time I checked, it was like 1 out of 3 males on the age of 30 is infertile. The reason people get infertile in capitalist society is because of the lifestyle. Eating greasy foods, staying on a chair all day. So you go to work, you work in an office, you stay on a chair, you drive a car, you sit down, you go home, you sit down. Not exercising, being fat. All of these factors contribute. Plus low exposure to sunlight because you sit in house or office all day. All of these cases contribute to infertility crisis. And all of the...
So we probably want social norms that encourage people to not have that lifestyle.
Well, the governments right now are investing The governments right now are investing millions of euros into finding out treatments for these infertile cases. So this is like another reason why people don't have children. There's a lot of couples that want to have kids, but they are infertile, so they can't. And when I was at med school, I was actually told, like, if you guys want to make a lot of cash, if you want to get the profession that's for the future, do fertility research because it's really sought out, especially in Europe. And when you have fat acceptance, when you have things like, I don't know, it's in general, yeah, the fat acceptance.
Degeneracy, yes.
Yeah, it does encourage us. But I never heard any of the alt-right talk about this, right? And it's a huge issue, by the way.
I agree with you. And again, but the solution ultimately comes to social norms to encourage people to not live like that.
I mean...
Another thing that just occurred to me when you were saying that the government were putting lots of money into researching this, again, doesn't that suggest that that's a collectivist society, a collectivist policy, because the government is, you know, taking your tax money in order to help the public in general?
Well, it's taking money that's already being paid by the taxes for healthcare. Like a part of your percentage that you're already paying now is actually going to education and research. So it's not taking any additional money. It's just diverting the money that's already taken to the specific.
Yeah, it sounds like a good use of that money. I mean, without that collectivist tax policy, we wouldn't have that money. And then that research wouldn't get done. I mean, you know, and again, I'm not even swearing by this. I'm just pointing out that,
but that's
according
not the
to
only
your
thing,
own logic,
right?
The government shouldn't be taking that money in the first place.
It's not, even if the government wouldn't be taking money, there are private companies and private enterprises that are doing the exact same thing. So people are really financially motivated to finding a cure for this. So you probably have big pharma companies that aren't paid by governments investing, you know, their private money into this.
So what we're talking about here is eugenic programs to offset dysgenic lifestyles.
Well, it's not just the lifestyle that's necessarily causing infertility. There's so many factors. Like one of the factors would be genetic. As you know, because of the medical advances, a lot of people sought help in the past. So basically their children are going to suffer from the same conditions and they will also need help. And it's a vicious cycle. For instance, I read a research about C-sec showing that because a lot of women did the C-sec in the past, the number of women that can give birth naturally diminishes. With the advancements of medicine, you are going to have these problems. And the question is, like, what do you do? Do you want to, I don't know, let women die because they can't give birth naturally so that, you know, you allow evolution to take its course and resume having humans giving birth naturally? Or do you keep giving C-sex? And I think the second option is the preferred one.
Or you just don't do them unless they're necessary.
Yeah, another possibility. Yeah, but to be fair, I don't know how it is in other countries. It is a little bit informal in Romania, but most doctors like do encourage women to give birth naturally because there are, for instance, the problem of maternal depression. When you give birth naturally, the hormones that are stuck in the woman's body, I'm not going to go into details, but they are released. And basically the body understands that it has given birth. whether when you have a C-sec, the body doesn't really understand that it has given birth. So it's going to feel as if it lost the pregnancy, which is going to give...
Yeah, so this is another example of how modernity fucks with the natural order.
Yeah, but we have to fuck with the natural order if you want to save people. You know, you need to question, for instance, do you let the woman die because she can't give birth naturally or because she can have certain complications which require a C-section?
Of course not. Of course not. It's always going to be a... Yeah, of course, it's going to be a judgment. But the point is that unless you have to interfere with the natural order, then you shouldn't.
I mean...
You shouldn't be giving women C-sections when they don't need them.
Yeah, another example would be the... germs that are resistant to antibiotics, right? Every time someone gets a cold, or you know, you have a child that, let's say, he has a certain case of the cough, right? And immediately in Romania, for instance, mothers will go and purchase antibiotics without, you know, having a doctor giving it to them. I think in Britain it's restricted, in Romania it's allowed. So what you're doing is you're creating germs that are now resistant to antibiotics.
Yeah, it's a big thing in India. They sell them freely, and then they develop strains that are resistant to the antibiotics. I mean, it's just retarded. Again, right, this is something that you need to control. And, you know, unfortunately, it really has to be the government who does it. The government should be banning sale of antibiotics like that.
You know, but then you get to difficult questions. Like, let's say you have a child that, you know, is coughing and he's getting, like, a really nasty case of pneumonia. You know that it's viral, so you shouldn't give antibiotics, but you also know that if it also contacts a germ, it can also have complications, because now, you know, his immune system, which is already busy fighting the viral infection, is now going to have to fight the bacterial infection as well. So what do you do? Do you give him antibiotic or you don't? You know, and this is like fucking with the natural order. And when it's someone's child, of course they are going to prefer to be on the safe side.
I'm not saying that you should never interfere with the natural order. I'm simply saying you shouldn't do it unless it's necessary.
Yeah, but this is the question. You know, I told you, it's like if he has a viral infection, then it's not necessary to give him antibiotics, but it is a possibility, however unlikely, that he will also develop a bacterial strain. So do you, you know, fuck with the natural order? It's not really necessary, but it's on the safe side.
I don't know. I mean, this is a medical case. I don't know.
I know, but that's as an ideology. Right, as an ideology.
This is a decision for doctors to take, assuming that they haven't all fucked off to another country.
I know, and there's basically different doctors that, you know, have different opinions on the matter. And this is what I'm saying. It's not as simple as you think. It's not black and white. There's many shades of gray.
I know that, and I'm not saying that it is black and white. When I said you shouldn't interfere with the natural order, obviously I meant unless you have to.
Well, another example, right? In the case of a C-sec, let's say the woman can have a certain complication. You don't know, for instance, like she could give birth naturally, but there is also a risk. So what do? Do you allow it to go naturally, or do you go for the C-sec?
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Doctors don't know either, right? That's the thing. They're not machines. Like, even with the medical training, they're still, like, things where it's in a gray area. So what I'm saying is that most of these decisions aren't made how should I say? They're not made with the purpose of causing harm. They're just made because doctors don't know either. You know, there are doctors who generally go, it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it natural. And it's their responsibility if a problem occurs, you know, and there's doctors that go like, no, I'm scared. I don't want to do it naturally. I don't want the complications to happen and then have the patient on my conscience. Yeah. So we're going to go with the C-sec.
Yes, I understand all that. But obviously there should be a policy to not encourage C-sections unless they're needed. But anyway, I mean, what does this all have to do with, you know, what we're talking about, horseshoe theory?
Right. So the idea of the horseshoe theory is that... for instance, when ideologies are different, the more you radicalize, they will get to the same conclusion. So, for instance, you know that Christians and atheists, you would say they're completely different ideologies, right? And I absolutely agree. But during the Bush era, everything was viewed as that wasn't Christian by the radical Christians were viewed as satanic. Like you had music, like rock and roll, anything that was deviant was satanic. You had movies like Harry Potter, Pokemon, Dungeons and Dragons, video games, right? All of this, and I can show you clips. I even made a video where they would consider it satanic. Now, you look at the social justice warriors who are mostly atheists. They don't consider it satanic, but they consider it to be sexist, racist, homophobic, and they do the same to music, they do the same to video games, they do the same to all of
yes.
the right? So at the end of the yes. day, what they're saying is that this movie, which isn't a problem in itself, you shouldn't watch it because it's bad for you. Right? Now, I don't care about the moral faggotry and the loophole they go to reach to this decision, because one of them thinks, okay, it has satanic messages, other ones think that it has racist messages. The end goal, like I as a person who enjoy watching Pokemon, I am told that it is bad for me, even though provably it's not. So do you see why, despite the fact that these are different ideological groups, they arrive to the same decision that you shouldn't watch this particular thing? And this is what the horseshoe theory tries to say, right? Because ideologies who are collectivists, like for instance, Richard Spencer spoke about moving away from football identity because it takes away from white identity. Is the idea that they want to focus the individual on that particular identity, and everything else that's outside of it needs to be...
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I think, and I think Spencer said that in a... Was that in a, one of the lecture, the university yeah, appearances yeah, that he did? Yeah. I think it was half joking, but also, I think what he meant was... For football, whatever it is, to believe in that at the expense of believing in your race, for example, or your nation, is destructive because you're distracting yourself with something that's ultimately quite yeah. trivial.
Yeah, can you imagine if you would have said that about anime identity? I wonder why he didn't brought it up. But that's what the Christians thought, right? To put Pokemon
anime.
In front
anime.
Of Christians.
Anime. Like, well, I'm certainly not a supporter of anime. I mean, I don't. I think not. It's. No, I mean, it seems to be something quite, it seems to suck guys in, like video gaming, you know, it's like they spend all their time doing it. I mean, look, I'm not saying, what Spencer was saying there, and I'm not in his head, you know, but I think he's basically correct in what he says, that people distract themselves with trivial things, and simultaneously their society is degrading all around them.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think social justice warriors find anime to be sexist and problematic as well? Because it takes away from social justice. It takes away from social justice. The only difference between them is that they're smarter. They don't want to ban it. They want to change it. Right?
Hold on a minute. Let me ask you. Let me ask you this question, right? Do you think that it's a good idea to have a culture where people are obsessed with their local football team or whatever, and meantime, they don't care about the future of that entire culture, that entire society? Because they're just thinking about their foot.
People are going to have hobbies, mate, whether you like it or not. Now, you can try to...
Yes, I have hobbies. I have hobbies too, right?
Yeah, and there's going to be people who are excessing in those hobbies, right? You're not going to prevent that. There's going to be a certain percentage of people, you know, who like to read books, okay? And it's good to read books, but there's going to be the people who do nothing but read books, book after book after book. And that's pathological, right? But it's for that individual. And I don't think it's the majority of individuals. But the difference between you and far leftists, right? Because the far leftists are much smarter and they're honestly trying to do what the Nazis tried to do to religion. Instead of banning it, they try to co-opt it. And when you play a video game, instead of you know, playing it for entertainment, you're going to be bombarded with progressive and social justice messages. When you read a comic book, you're going to get social justice comics. Which is why, you know, at the end of the day, they destroy your hobby. So, for instance, when you go to a football match, instead of getting, you know, football, you're going to get people taking a knee and pushing progressive nonsense. And that's
Yeah, but what Spencer was saying was that there are very, very large numbers of people who are distracted by this, right. by their football team, while their society is decaying
right.
all around
and
them. It's not like a few obsessives. It's very, very large numbers of people. And I would agree. I think that lots of people today live in whatever it is, popular culture, while their societies are degenerating
right.
around them. So surely that is wrong.
If football and anime would push outright ideologies when you go watch them, would you still be against them?
Well, I don't like football or anime, so I mean, you're asking the wrong guy.
You know what I'm talking about. If, like, every part of culture, music, movies, video games, everything would just push outright ideals. It's like you need to care about your race and why white people are important. They need to be preserved. And you'd get, like, these messages being bombarded, you know, every time you read a different novel or you watch a different movie. Would you be against them then?
In the current state, no, I wouldn't, because I think that anything that would help
that's
our people to survive would be useful. But I would not want a situation where artworks and media had by law to include political messages. I mean, that sounds
law.
That's
no, it's not by law
or anything or anything like that. I don't like art being politicized.
Yeah, but that's how the progressives operate, right? They for instance, hate art, just like because it takes away from diversity and it takes away from social justice.
I think the crucial thing here is hold on. The crucial difference is I would go along with some of this stuff because I think we're in a crisis right now. I would not want it for the long term, for life in general. I don't want that. I want a better future in which people can.
Progressives think they're in a crisis. Like I spoke with them.
No, they would be doing this. No, they would be doing this forever. Of course they would, because they are fighting. And here's why. Here's why. They are fighting against natural drives like male and female, and race as well. So they are constantly trying to suppress those things, and so the struggle has to go on forever and ever. Now, in the case of and in the case of the alt-right or identitarianism, we want to restore our societies to a condition that can survive. Okay. Right? So it's not like
what would stop the alt-right once you have like a completely white nation to just start looking at ethnicities and say that, these ethnicities.
Well, I think those. Fine. I don't know. I think that would have to be defined in advance. That this is what we're working towards, so that it wouldn't become a totalitarian thing. But then, even that would be better than not existing at all, which is the situation we're heading towards.
See, this is why Coach Red Pill calls you a teddy bear with no teeth. I don't know if you know this, but he actually did call.
I do. Yes.
Yeah. Because you, I don't know, I think you're the same way you called me, too optimistic when it comes to this ideology. If this ideology...
No, that's not why you called me that. That was a different thing. But what I care about here is the survival of my people, right? And I think that in order to not care about that, you have to be really... I think you are very ideological, actually, because nothing that threatens the freedom of the individual here and now is okay with you.
Again, I don't think you are representing your people. You haven't been elected to represent them.
That's just a misnomer.
So I can just say that I'm representing Romanians then, and then talk about Romanians.
Whoa! I'm not saying that I represent the native British people. Okay. Right? That's silly.
How can you know?
I think they want to survive, and I think that any animal needs to survive, yes.
Well, yeah, but all right. By surviving, they're not being killed. What you're saying is that their offsprings are not going to be the same as they are.
Yes.
All right. And have you made a poll or a survey to ask the British people if they're comfortable, if their children wouldn't be, if they would marry Asian women, for instance?
No, because this is
our survey. I mean, this is the criticism I have for feminism. You know, you have a woman talking about women.
Hold on. Let me answer a fucking question.
All right.
Right now, the British people, like all Western European peoples, are drowning in multicultural propaganda. And if you were to ask them, do you care about the survival of the white race or the British people? A lot of them would feel guilty and they'd say, oh no, I don't care about race. I don't care about skin color or whatever. And that's how they would answer. But that is because they have been hammered into submission over the last 50 years. If you'd asked them the same question in 1960, the vast majority of them would have said, absolutely, of course I care about that. So what I want is to reawaken that sense in them of their own group's existence and importance.
Right. So you wouldn't disagree with me when I'm arguing with the progressives, for instance, against the progressive ideology that they're pushing. Like if people like me would win, for instance, the culture war, because I don't believe it's a culture war, your people wouldn't feel racist about it. And then we can have.
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, for instance, I have plenty of videos on my channel where I talk about how the British Empire ended slavery. People in Britain shouldn't be ashamed about slavery because every nation around the world has done it.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
All right. So I'm
sorry, but I think we should stop this because I'm really tired. I can barely think. It's 4 a.m. here.
But basically, like, what I'm saying is that I do believe there are better arguments to be made than racial about this whole situation. There's economical, there's cultural. But
all of that relies on race. You're not going to have a first world economy or a first world culture with brown people and black people. You're just not going to have it.
No, listen, you have a meritocracy, right? And it's like these are the people that our country needs to import for these particular jobs. And if they get an interview and they're proven, and of course, you know, the companies for taking people from outside.
Yeah, I get it. You don't need to explain it. I understand. Yeah, right. I understand the meritocracy and then people of any race. Because as I said at the start, that still disadvantages people in my own country, my own race, my own people who have those abilities but get
Your country will have a great economy.
I don't care about the fucking economy. I care about my people.
Then be honest about it. You care about your people and you're looking for excuses.
That's what I've been saying. I've not been looking for excuses.
But then you don't care for economies.
I've said it time and again. I don't care about the economy. My priority is my people. Don't accuse me of lying. I've been very open about that all the way through this.
I told you it's 4 a.m. Right. But anyway, right, I do care about the economy. I do care about all these issues. So if you're saying, like for instance, if a wave of Chinese people would come to Romania and would create Romania into a booming society, I would have absolutely no problem with it.
Well, I think that's a shame because it suggests to me that... Well, what is your ethnic group? What is your ethnic group? Sorry?
White Romanian.
You're a white Romanian.
Yeah.
Now, they went through many different things, the Ottoman thing, the communism and Nazism. They survived because regardless of the political system, regardless of the economic conditions, their genes were maintained, were preserved. And that's why they still exist now.
I mean, in the beginning, there were Dacians here, and the Roman Empire came, and the genes were mixed. Like, we're not Romans, but we're not Dacians either. And then, you know, when the Ottoman Empire came, I'm pretty sure, like, if you would start genetically testing Romanians, you'd find a lot of, you know, minority blood genes here. Right.
Probably, because but you get the point.
Right? Yeah, but you were 0.1% African, weren't you? Like, 0.1% sub-Saharan. Like,
you're surely not saying that should mean I should have some confusion about my European identity.
No. What I'm saying is that if that wouldn't happen, you wouldn't exist here today. Why are you laughing?
It doesn't matter. It's like, that's ridiculous.
No, it's not. It's like if you go down to your ancestry tree and you stop that from happening. Like even if you had a single interracial marriage during the 2,000 years.
That isn't going to happen. It's a pointless thing to even consider.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's ridiculous.
You're saying that happened.
You've got that sub 0.1%, less than 0.1%, and therefore what? I shouldn't care about the 99.999%.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying every single one of them is just as important. If one single one wouldn't have happened, you wouldn't be here today.
Yes. But it just doesn't affect anything. I understand what you're saying. That ancestor way back then who was sub-Saharan African, probably 50,000 years, not a degenerate, 50,000 years ago.
Why not? You read it outside this race, man.
No, not necessarily. No, this is just silly, V. In the end, what we're talking about is, like, okay, let's say Romania has some Ottoman DNA from whatever, hundreds of years ago. Well, okay, that's a shame. But still, that ethnic, you clearly belong to an ethnic group, you've said it, white Romanians. They have withstood communism and fascism, Nazism, and they still exist today. Whereas if million Chinese had come in and swamped them, then that they wouldn't exist today, right?
No,
so it's an eternal thing.
You don't have a proof. You don't have proof that if millions of Chinese would come, they would be swapped.
Oh, my God.
It's like, millions of Ottomans came, and they weren't swapped. You know, millions of Romans came and they weren't swamped. Millions of
Nazis. So let's just take the chance. Let's just take the chance. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think we are going to arrive to a similar point of view on this.
No, definitely not. You are totally atomized. Your society could transform around you. Your grandchildren, if you have any, might have to live in an appalling situation. And you don't seem
mixed race degenerates. I do seem to like Asian women, so probably I will contribute to the white genocide.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And I suspect that you think that makes you clever and sophisticated,
Clever. You know what it makes me? It makes me able to choose whoever I want to sleep with. And I don't think you're going to.
For you, your dick is so important.
No. Here's the thing, right? I don't think other white people are going to help me when I'm in a problem, right? When I was in a financial crisis, there weren't other white people that came in to get me out of it. I got myself out of it, right? So if other people don't contribute when I'm in a problem, I don't see why other people should have a say in how I live my life. You know who helped me? My friends and my family. And yeah, they do have a say in the things that I do. I would listen to the opinions of my parents. I would listen to the opinions of my friends and, you know, the people that are acquaintances and so forth. But
I'll
I wouldn't listen
society,
to someone that I...
The society in which you lived, the society in which you lived at that time was not made by your friends and family. They were part of it, but the society was made by all of your people. And that's what enabled you to get through that. Not just your friends and family. And even the person you are at birth was the result of your people, your ethnic group. So it's amazing to me that you have no connection to them and no concern for their future. I mean, certainly, we can move on from you and talk about me. I am grateful for what my ancestors did. And I do want to preserve their genetic legacy and their cultural legacy and all the rest of it. And I do care that my grandchildren are recognizably of that group and that they have a nice society to live in and to enjoy and whose history they can identify with. I don't want them to be atomized individuals who don't care about anything but their own fucking freedom and their dick.
Yeah, and I don't want people like you to tell other people, my children and my grandchildren, how to live their lives. And at the end of the day, you know, you have your YouTube channel, you're going to say whatever you want. I have my YouTube channel and I'm going to say whatever I want. People are going to listen to both of us and they're going to decide which one of us is right and which one of us is wrong. I just hope that the far left collectivists aren't going to censor your channel because I do want your arguments to be in the public market. I do want them to be heard. And I think that's, you know, a system that we both agree on.
Yes, at least we can agree on that. Yes. I just think it's sad. You know, I care about this. You don't seem to care.
Well, this
is the future of Western civilization and the white race. And you're just, whatever my dick says.
The thing is, when you say Western civilization, I think about enlightenment, democracy, capitalism, and human rights. And you want to defend white civilization by taking all of those away, at which point I think white civilization is just going to suck.
Well, that's like saying in order to... Okay, we have to put the patient to sleep in order to operate on him.
I don't think that
we
once
can't
you
put
the
him
patient,
to sleep. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same because once you put the patient to sleep in this figuratively term, I think he's never going to wake up. My country was put to sleep and it took the blood of my ancestors to wake the country up. I know what
and you care about their sacrifice.
I do care
about the blood
exactly.
of your ancestors.
I do care about the blood of my ancestors to give them the freedom that I have today.
So why don't you want to preserve the blood of your ancestors?
Because
why don't you want to honor your ancestors?
This is what my ancestors wanted. They wanted freedom for the people. How people use that freedom.
They wanted you to be ruled by your dick and going floating from one indulgence to another and not caring about
anything. They wanted not to have people like you who tell me what I can do with my dick. This is the freedom that they offer me. I know this is funny to you, right? But in communism, listen, right? In communism, they also cared about what you did with your dick. I can show you like documentaries where a people from a higher office in
am I talking to V or V's dick?
Listen, listen. In communism, there was this guy that was a member of the inner party who married the daughter of a ex-bourgeoisie, which was incredibly bad. They had to get their marriage in secret. They
They had to hide everything, right? Because the communists couldn't conceive the idea of a farmer marrying an old, you know, noble, like a member of the bourgeoisie. And they went after him in full force. Yeah, so my ancestors did die so people can marry whomever they want, regardless of class, regardless of race. The difference between you is that you care about race a lot, and the communists cared about class a lot. And they also claim that what the class wants and what the class needs. And it's just the same how you care about what the race wants and what the race needs. Without making
Hold on a second. The communists wanted to level everything and destroyed the elites wherever they could. Whereas I want to preserve these things.
Bullshit. That's on paper. In reality, they didn't. In reality, they created new classes. In reality,
yes, of course they did. Because in the end, yes, in the end, because it's an unnatural system, it works against the natural law, and in the end, elites are necessary. This is again, this is another reason why.
And they were calling useful idiots. Yeah, and they were calling useful idiots the people who actually follow communism, right? I'm telling you, as a person who lived through communism, they didn't want to destroy the class system. In fact, they preserved the class system. And
yes, it was hypocritical.
Of course,
it was hypocritical. Yeah, but yeah, that's the whole point, V. Right?
The Nazis were hypocritical when they allied with the communists. And it's not an alliance of interest, right? Because I would understand if they would just rape Poland together and buttfuck it. But once they finished the war, they even had like a joint military parade where the Nazis and the Red Army
I'm not here to defend the Nazis. What I'm pointing out here is you are saying that because the communists didn't want someone reproducing with the nobility. They wanted to get rid of the old nobility, but they still maintained a new hierarchy of their own, right? I'm saying that that is an example of their hypocrisy, because in the end, every society needs a hierarchy. So they were acting against natural order, against natural hierarchy. Now, that is the insanity of communism. It cannot be sustained because it is inherently contradictory and against human nature, right?
Of course.
What I stand for is not that, right? It's very much in keeping with the natural order.
I know that your moral faggotry is different, right? And by the way, even the communists said that it's not real.
Call moral faggotry, I would simply call having some allegiance to anything greater than oneself and one's
indulgences. And they have allegiance to class. You know, they also follow that a person who does something is betraying their class and is betraying their ancestors were hard workers and blah, blah, blah. I mean,
it's just a crazy system. I mean, class is part of any healthy organism, any healthy social organism.
They would say that people within the same class have more in common than people in the same race. I mean, they would believe that a black man working in a factory...
Yes, and yet it's never happened. And yet it's never happened. People don't... this was after the First World War. Everyone knows this. The classes didn't unite across national borders. But I'll tell you what does happen. In any crisis situation, people go to their ethnic groups.
No, I don't think so. I think in any crisis, people go to the biggest ideologue. No, they absolutely... It could be a religious person...
Own ethnic group, because that's where they have security. It's primal.
You can't get rid of it.
The only way you can get rid of it is to race mix so there are no ethnic groups. But then we end up with...
If that's the case, why aren't white people going to their own group and they're listening to university professors and forming Antifa?
Well, they do that and then they white flight. It's hypocrisy. They are not actually... acting in accordance with their own instincts or, again, the natural order.
I think they're doing it out of their own interest. And to be honest, the ones that are white are the rich.
It's selfish in the short term. So, yeah, they are acting in their own interest, but they are being dishonest. They are being hypocritical, and they are not examining themselves, just like the communists didn't.
I think they're flocking to the biggest ideologue, and I think you know this as well.
No, I think they're flocking to the ideologue that is in fashion just now, but that's not a crisis situation. In a crisis situation, believe me, all of these fucking white Antifa, they will not be flocking to, Big Bubba, who just happens to be the main ideologue. I mean, no, they'll flock to white suburbia for safety.
So you're saying that there's no way they could flock to religion, for instance? Like you could go in a church and you can find whites and blacks together.
It could happen, but demonstrably it usually doesn't happen because churches are one of the most segregated institutions in society.
It's because of the neighborhoods, of course. But, I mean,
It's because people prefer to be among their own.
Okay. If people prefer to be, like this is an argument that I keep hearing. If people prefer to be among their own kind, why do you need to impose segregation?
Because they are being subverted and our societies against our will are being filled with people from other races.
So it goes against their DNA, basically.
Yes.
So if ideology can go against the DNA, you're basically saying that it can also be reversed. Bombarding these people with a reverse ideology would work.
Yes.
So where is the crisis then? Because it can always be fixed. No, honestly, it's like...
If we take 100 years to fix it, then by then there won't be enough white people left.
No, Eastern Europe is probably repopulated.
And I'll tell you another thing. Well, great, so my ethnic group will die out, but yours, no thanks.
Your ethnic group will die out. I think it's going to be fine. I know I can't prove this, but you can't also prove that your ethnic group is going to die out. Because
my ideas would protect them. Yours would leave them to the winds of fate.
You're basically thinking that just because people are allowed to do whatever they want, they will always make the wrong decisions.
No, I'm saying right now they are being propagandized by very intense propaganda in these race mixing adverts. It's fucking endless. So, and they're being guilt tripped endlessly. This is how it's happened over the last 50 years. So yeah, the white race is in danger. And meantime, even if individual whites don't race mix, they are still being outnumbered. That is a statistical certainty.
Do you know why we make censuses every time, like a certain period of time? And we don't just look at the census from, I don't know, 1950 and then use those numbers to find out how many people are today. Because people change in demographics, you know, like maybe, you know, in 2000, whites had like two kids and then in 2017 they had one and it changes. You can't use like a mathematical equation to foresee how many people there's going to be in 30 years from now.
Well, again, what you're saying here is, well, we don't know for sure that this is going to happen. Therefore, let's not care about it. I mean,
dedicated to caring about it. It's just that the solutions that I have aren't as drastic.
No, hold on a minute. You don't care about it anyway because you don't care about race.
Yes. And because I don't care about race, I do care about progressives who care a lot about race. So I do want to fight them because they care too much about
those
race.
Those progressives are going to fill your society with people of other races. Your ethnic group will not survive. You don't care about that, but you do care about the culture. But those low IQ groups are not going to be able to sustain the culture that you value of individualism and freedom and all the rest of it.
The problem with progressives.
This is not just about progressives. This is the problem with you, right? You Sargonites. You think the worst thing in the world
is
the progressive.
Right. Do you know that Sargon is reading the literature of John Locke, which is exactly the same that I grew up with, the 90s. You know, the cartoons culture about
right,
them.
Whatever. Sargon and his friends. The problem with you is you think the worst thing in the world is the SJW of today, right? And if you can stop them, then everything will be fine. That is not the case. We are up against other races who don't even know what a fucking SJW is, but they know what it is to survive.
The problem with you is that you don't understand that problems don't go away. They just come back. And every time the problems appear, people like you are going to dramatize the situation and advocate for the restrictions.
We've lost London. We've lost London. I mean, for Christ's sake, we've lost Birmingham.
George Bush was saying that 9/11 happened, so we need to have the Patriot Act and take freedoms away from the Americans.
Oh, my God. So
you're just going to assume
it's unnecessary and nothing could be more important than
because
again,
it's the idea, let me take away your individual rights with the promise that you will get something in return. And if I don't get that shit in return, then my children will probably have to die in a violent revolution so they can kill your fucking ass. But that's not the whole thing, right? The fact that you lost London is something that I advocate against. Like the whole concept on my channel is just that what I am saying is not as the solutions that I'm proposing would fix the issue, and they're not as drastic enough as to scare people away.
They wouldn't fix the issue. You know, this is the situation we have now.
Okay, so let me tell you my solution. Tell me if they will fix the issue or not. Right. Okay.
How are you going to save the white race?
All right. So, for instance, I'm telling you how I'm going to save London.
How are you going to save the white race?
Okay. So, in the case of London, it would be any person who is an immigrant and has dual citizenship. If they start committing crimes against the state, which I would label, for instance, advocating for Sharia law or anything against, you know, British culture, like the idea of, I don't know, the testimony of a woman being half that of a man, and they would be caught doing terrorist activity or something like that, their citizenship would be revoked. They would be deported if they have dual citizenship. If not, they would be placed in jail. And the moment you start cracking down and legitimately doing these things, you will see that the people of the that are currently subverting the state will just stop doing it. But they don't want to be deported. They don't want to end in prison. Now, of course, you're not satisfied with that because, you know, your white race wouldn't be, quote unquote, saved.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think it's a better solution than the one you are currently stuck in now.
Well, it doesn't solve the problem.
I don't think what you're doing is going to solve the problem, because what you're doing is scaring people away. You're not never going to get the numbers in order to have change happening in your country.
Oh,
with
yes,
the way
we
you're doing now. Well, good luck to you. I honestly doubt it, but, you know, I can always be proven wrong.
Let's leave it there, V.
Yeah, we should, because it's 5 a.m.
Yeah. Now, I care about my people. You care about freedom and the individual. I think that you sound traumatized by the political regime that you've lived under. I'm sorry. But I can see the future of atomized individualism, and it's brown and black. Right, and
I
that's
think
not good enough.
Nationalism is a good compromise between what I'm afraid of and what you want.
Civic nationalism would lead to my people dying out.
Right, there you go. So I don't think there can
be
a compromise.
It's a fail.
Right.
It's a fail.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to agree then, because there's like no compromise that we can have between our ideologies. Now, I like you
unfortunately
as a person,
not.
By the way, I think you're a nice individual to play video games with. Too bad you don't play video games. We do disagree ideologically, unfortunately.
Yes, we certainly do.
And I
just think it's sad.
Pop a professor out of your ass, because I would really like to have a stream with him as well.
I made a video about him, and he was told about it, and he watched it, and then he contacted me on Twitter, and we got into a conversation. I verified that it was him, and then I asked him if he would like to appear.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I want him on my channel as well. I'm pretty much sure that I'm going to disagree with him just like I disagree with you. And this is what people...
And just like I disagreed with him. I want to emphasize this, because this is the point of this whole fucking debate.
I disagree with him, by the way. Yeah, I disagree with you on the Israel policy.
What? My Israel policy is... I don't care. I want them to do whatever the fuck they want, as long as they're not here interfering with our societies, right?
Well, no,
it's,
but I think,
it would be better
I
for
think,
them to...
I think it's okay if the West gives money to Israel. Because Israel is not an Islamic theocracy in the Middle East. It's one of the... And Muslims in Israel have a better life than the Muslims in Palestine. So at the end of the day, I have nothing against, you know, having this bastion of civilization in the Medieval East. Honestly,
you want the government to take your money and give it to Israel?
In the long run, it's probably going to stabilize the region. Because if it wasn't for Israel, and let's say, you know, the Islamic countries would have their way, it would just be another Sharia shithole.
So you're saying that these high IQ Jews can't put together a functioning economy on their own and make loads of money?
In the middle of a fucking desert, mate. Do you know, like, that's what really impresses me about this shit. It's like, it is the middle of the desert, and they actually did create, you know,
well,
similar...
they wanted it.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I actually saw a lot of videos that I'm probably going to make one, where you will see a lot of Christian Americans back in the day who the same reason they wanted Israel to belong to the Jews is to fulfill Biblical prophecies. So it was like a self-fulfilling biblical prophecy. And you have the Pentagon who was for it. And then you have...
Christian evangelists. Yeah, there are American Christians who love the Jews for some reason. I don't know. It seems crazy
to me. Yeah, they believe that fulfilling the biblical prophecy will bring forth the rapture. I know it sounds crazy, right? I know it sounds batshit insane. But just like we have social justice warriors today that want the most insane things, you had like the social justice activists for Christianity back then. Wanted like also batshit crazy things that normal Christians wouldn't want. You know, like moderate Christians would never dream of wanting something like this.
Well, yes. Well, the point is that I disagreed with Mike Isaacson on everything. The one single thing we agreed on was that we don't think Britain and America should be giving money to Israel. That was the one thing.
The Jewish question, he agreed with you. The fact that
that's not a political belief. That's a social observation. Actually, he denied that Jews are privileged, and I remember saying about the media and so on, and he denied it, which I thought was hilarious. That was when I brought up the CNN graphic, and he denied that. No, the one thing that we agreed on was that Britain and America shouldn't subsidize Israel. And then you and Sargon got together and said that he and I agreed on everything.
Not everything.
You were lying. You were lying. Yeah. We agreed on nothing.
I said you agreed on everything regarding external foreign policy. That's what I said.
Well, I don't even know what you mean by that. I mean, what external? We didn't even talk about that. The one thing we talked about was Israel. So anyway, I just want to emphasize that you and Sargon misrepresented me and claimed that it was all in support of your horseshoe theory. That you said that the alt-right and the Antifa have got so much in common.
You are very, both of you were very aware of race, you know, and people in the center don't care about
that. Well, that's your fault for not being aware of it. I mean, that doesn't adapt to our political belief. He wants the races to basically merge into one, which is the opposite of what I want.
Yeah, but he is aware of
it.
Which means that he is very preoccupied with race, just like you are. And again, people in the center don't care about race. And it's not me, it's not Sargon. If you go on the street and you ask, you will see
Let's not get into second guessing what the public think. The point is
more about money, mate. That's what
and that's the whole fucking problem. The point is that Isaacson and I didn't agree on anything except that we shouldn't be subsidizing Israel. Right? That was the one thing that we agreed on politically. So you and Sargon were misrepresenting me, and that's all I want to say about it. Okay, so thank you, V. This has been a most exhausting conversation. Okay.
Did you have other people that exhausted you like I did, or am I the first?
I can't remember. Okay. I think who was it? There was someone on that I find quite exhausting. But anyway, so let's leave it at that. I think we can summarize this. You care about the individual and his freedom at all costs. I think that the group is also important, and the individual's freedoms, it's not the end of the world if he has to lose a few freedoms for a while in order to support the existence of his race. I mean, that's really the difference here.
I'm not going to go into it again, because I'm going to exhaust you.
No, let's not. Let's not.
All right. Okay.
See ya. See ya, V. Good night. Okay.
I'm sorry if I exhausted you. I'm really not.
No. We're not off air yet. I'm gonna say thank you for listening, everyone. I hope this was enjoyable for you. I'll be back in about 10 minutes with Dissent Report. Okay, good night for now.